The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. This is PFW in Progress.
When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No, man. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in tomorrow. So if you could be here around 9, that would be great.
Oh, and I almost forgot.
I'm also going to need you to go ahead and come in on Sunday, too. Okay?
Thanks.
Paul Perillo.
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
And Andy. And Andy?
What would you do if you had $1 million?
I'll tell you what I'd do, man. Two chicks at the same time, man.
Andy Hart.
I'm thinking I might take that new chick from logistics. Things go well, I might be showing her my O face.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
It's not that I'm lazy. It's that I just don't care. When I make a mistake, I have 8 different people coming by to tell me about it. That's my only real motivation, is not to be hassled. That'll only make someone work just hard enough not to get fired.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Every single day of my life has been worse than the day before it. So that means that every single day that you see me, that's on the worst day of my life.
What about today? Is today the worst day of your life?
Yeah.
Wow, that's messed up.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. It is Tuesday here at Gillette Stadium, a rainy, cloudy day here in Foxborough. I thought the rain was supposed to end this morning.
It is going to. And it's letting up, yeah.
Yeah. All right, well.
Because Paul pouring. And I are expected to shoot some things for Patriots today outside later.
It was pouring this morning.
You know that New England weather. Wait 5 minutes.
Work continues here at Gillette Stadium on the new field turf.
It's down.
It's down.
Very green.
They haven't painted it yet.
No, but it's very green.
And do they have?
No, I don't think it's done. I walked on it and it didn't feel done.
Yeah, they didn't. They haven't put the stuff in yet, right?
Well, there's some stuff in, but it didn't seem totally done to me.
And the work continues on the expansion of the football department. Out front.
They poured some concrete on the roof of the first floor or whatever.
It's amazing how they do that.
I noticed that yesterday.
Yeah. Really is pretty cool how they do that. Get concrete to flow uphill. See that?
They pump it.
Yeah, they pump it.
So?
It's pretty interesting.
It's a pump. What's so interesting about that?
I just thought it was cool to watch.
You can get anything to flow uphill.
It's just a fun fact.
Even the proverbial poop.
All right.
If you have a toilet in your basement, you pump it out.
Extremely persnickety with you lately.
And a little later in the show, Rob Ninkovich will be swinging by, so we'll sit down and talk with him a little.
It's breaking news. I thought he had a kid in a beard.
Our off-season interviews hopefully begin with Rob Ninkovich, and we'll continue with other players throughout the off-season.
He did some media availability earlier this morning with the rest of the media.
Yeah, but I'm sure Arnaville will be
definitely
better. Yeah.
I think we could get him to swear if we try.
You think so?
Yep.
Well, let's see if we can. All right.
That should be our goal this year. Every player to come in here, we get them to swear. Say a potty word.
All right. That's better than getting themselves in trouble like Chandler Jones.
Yes, and I don't really feel the need to bring that back up.
We didn't do anything.
I asked Rob outside when I was chit-chatting with him after he did his, if he's ever been in trouble, and he said no for anything he said. Because he did. Somebody actually asked him about they were talking a lot about pro days, and he was joking about how, you know, it wasn't like a media spectacle when I had a pro day. It was a bunch of teams trying to get you to vomit for a couple hours on a practice field. There weren't media and people watching. And somebody said, like, how players are thrown right into the media circus now, like spokesmen, and, you know, some guys are more comfortable than others. And he said, yeah, it's obvious. Like, you see teammates that are just, you know, don't want to do it, flat out shouldn't do it. Their agents should do, you know, structured sit downs that can be edited and not necessarily live TV interviews. But he's a guy that has become quite a spokesman for this team over the last 2-3 years here. And he's a captain now. So,
yeah, and I think
can he stay a captain?
Can he stay a captain?
Because we always have the number situation where it's 7 is the max you can have, I believe. And he was sort of added when Wilfork and Mayo were out of the mix.
Right.
But they're now back in the mix.
And usually they like to spread it around, not too many on each side.
Right, it's
side
usually
of the ball.
Brady and Mankins, Mayo and Wilfork, Slater,
And that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah.
Well, McCourty has been on and off.
But he was the captain last year.
Ninkovich has been added.
Right. Yeah, Ninkovich and McCourty were added last year because McCourty lost his captaincy.
So my guess is it'll be Brady and Mankins again, Wilfork and Mayo, Ninkovich, Slater.
And maybe McCourty.
That's heavily defensive weighted.
Yeah, because they lost the two on defense last year that they replaced.
Right.
So that's why they ended up with two extras.
Okay. So I don't know why that popped into my head.
It'll be interesting to see if Wilfork is a captain right off the bat.
I'll be stunned if he isn't.
Really?
What do you mean right off the bat?
We'll see.
Off what bat?
Right. I hate when he throws things out there like that don't seem on the surface to make any sense at all. But
when you feel like a whisper like was in his ear.
Like I'm looking at his eye and it's like there's a hint, you know, like the only thing missing was the sniff at the end. You know, it'd be interesting if
it's not something I'm sure of. I just have a feeling like McCourty
you said
wasn't...
it like you do. Exactly. That's you're saying it like you're just throwing it out there.
But you know he never left, right?
I know.
So it's you say right off the bat, it's not like he's Patrick Chung and he's coming back and he lost his tenure that he had accumulated.
I understand. Brian
he never
Morey,
left.
If you will.
Nothing ever happened to him other than he was a New England Patriot. Yes, Brian Morey, perfect example.
Speaking of Patrick Chung, that broke during our last show, right?
Yeah, we kind of broke
we had
it.
That on that. Yeah. We had that on the show because Tom E. Curran tweeted it out during the show and we threw it out there.
Apparently late, I mean E stands for late because
everything.
We had been about 25 minutes into Ninkovich when he was at the outside gate trying to get in and Stacey had to go let him in.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming, Tom.
A lot of people are like, oh, I don't like that move. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Right. They didn't say, Patrick Chung is your new starting safety.
Right.
They said, Patrick Chung is back. Even Chung said, if I play special teams, whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, who cares? You have a knowledgeable veteran depth guy.
You know, Andy and I talked about this for our roster report last week. If you have a situation where you need an extra safety and you're dealing with guys like Nate Ebner and Kenoris Davis and Tavon Wilson.
Guys who have proven that they can't play defense.
Patrick Chung has been on the field to play defense. Those other guys really haven't. And when they have it, they haven't belonged.
I mean, Patrick Chung, for whatever you think of him, has started, been a primary starting safety for two teams in the National Football League. You have guys that can and never will be able to say that. For one, never mind two.
Yeah. Now, I don't want Patrick Chung playing significant defensive snaps. And if he is, then that's a bad sign.
And I assume Bill Belichick does not want Patrick Chung.
I agree.
Accumulating huge snaps on defense.
I agree.
But if he has to put Ebner or Chung, I'm sure he would go, Chung it is.
Yeah, our buddies at Pro Football Focus, who we may or may not have been disrespectful to in the past, we were talking about the last show.
According to them, we flat out were.
Rated him 81 out of 86 safeties last year.
Wow.
But what is the...
There was two different things. There was against the run and against the pass and the average. And
but did
average,
you have to play like X number of snaps or something? Or?
I don't know.
Or do we have 80, 81, 82, and 86 with Davis, Ebner, Wilson?
I don't know what the criteria is in terms of minimum plate appearances. I don't know.
Sure.
3.1 plate appearances.
Sure.
I think congratulations are due to the University of Connecticut for their championship last night. No one cares.
Sure.
Good for them.
And they could do the double dip tonight, right?
It's 4 in 16 years. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's really hard to do.
And an 8% graduation rate.
That's even harder to do, just so you know.
I think in college football and basketball, men's, it might be harder to win those championships than in the pros. I'm just, don't you think?
He has no conviction of this. No. He like backed off the second he said it.
I think it's the same.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Why would it be harder in the
college? Just seems like in the pros,
it's hard. I mean, it's
hard
in
both.
It's an incredible accomplishment to win championships.
You know, because
I mean, everybody's in it every year, but to win a championship four times.
Because of that format, one out of 64, anything can happen. And then in football, you lose one or two games as a college football team and you're out, or at least the way it used to be. Now that's going to change a little bit, but, it just, you almost have to have a, 12-0 season every year to be.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. Listen, it's hard to win titles, but
I think it's harder in football because, you said, one little upset can derail.
But usually, you can lose a game in football and still get away with it.
And now
this particular year, they both, both of those teams, made it through without losing until the final. But
it's also when you lose, can't lose late,
which drives me crazy.
Got to lose early.
If you lose in the third week of September, you're okay.
Right.
Because you get back up there. But if you lose, your rivalry game in late November to your bitter rival, forget it. You're out.
Well, it's like you're being punished and you have to earn your way back. It's like Right. You know, Stephen Ridley had to sit on the bench for a week and then be limited for a week. And had he done that in the last game of the year, we would have never seen him again because he has to be punished for the proper time.
The moral of the story is fumble early.
Right. So you can work your way back in.
Right. All right. Any other Patriots news we need to put on the table?
Tom Brady lost to Joe Montana.
Okay.
Was it poll?
Decidedly?
Yeah. He got his butt whooped.
Did he? Well, like I said, it's going to be the world.
No, now the final is.
That was only the semifinal. Okay.
Unitas Montana, I believe. And I think that ends today.
It's going to be the world against, you know, the New England Patriots and Tom Brady. So it was a tough.
Right, because Drew Bledsoe advanced like three rounds.
It's
going
to be tough.
But Drew Bledsoe got to the Elite Eight. They have it out for us.
He shouldn't sniff the.
Without me voting, by the way.
I mean, I don't know. I probably could have put together the 32-guy bracket and not included Drew in the 32, never mind the Elite Eight. Yeah. Right? I mean. I was a little surprised.
I wouldn't be able to do that, but you probably could. So why you say you?
Adrian Wilson.
Adrian Wilson has been cut.
As expected.
Yeah. So number 24 is now Revis's.
Official. No, it's official.
It's official.
They are taking orders, selling 24 jerseys.
Okay. I thought it would have been funny if Arrington said, hey, no, I want my 24 back.
So go to the Patriots Pro Shop. You can pre-order your Revis 24 jersey.
Youth.
Had a friend ready for the summer.
A friend of mine in New York has purchased a Revis throwback that he has purchased. So when he does his running in New York, he's a little like Andy. He fancies himself a marathoner.
Is he like me or does he fancy himself a marathoner? Because those two things aren't the same.
He's going to run in his Revis throwback jersey in New York City. And,
so you mean with Pat Patriot?
Trying to stay away from the
I think the
roadways.
I think that's going to be really popular with New York, New Jersey, Connecticut Patriots fans because it is a stick.
Well, this is the guy who celebrates Thurman Munson Day.
Well, I actually think it'll be popular with
cries.
No.
The
celebrates
other
Thurman Munson Day.
Yeah. In a good way.
No human being should do.
Right.
I also think normal people will buy it, too, because that's not normal. He's an idiot.
No,
but I think
normal.
There will be normal people who will buy it, too. Because what better way to stick it to your Jets
fans? Anniversary of his death, I believe it's August 3rd or something, August 2nd, something like that. Every year he tells people in New York, Happy Thurman Munson Day. He's a bad guy.
He's a bad guy. It's like what Jets fans did to us when Parcells left, you know, and went over to.
Essentially banging the hot ex-wife of the guy you know, like whatever.
There's guys like Al from Everett that just loved Parcells, they became Jets fans.
Right.
I'm sure he wasn't alone.
Yeah. All right. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And 855-PATS-500 is the toll-free number. If you're wondering where Eric is, he had jury duty.
No one was wondering.
And I guess in the state.
They assumed he was here and not talking like every other show.
In the state of Rhode Island, it's a mandatory 2 days. So whether you get picked or not, you have to be on call for 2 days at the place. So. He was out yesterday and today, and I guess if he got picked for some thing and got sequestered, he could be out longer, but
Cross your fingers.
He'd have texted me, I'm sure, right away.
Well, you're not allowed to text from the courthouse, are you?
But I was just wondering, though,
I don't think that's okay.
Because there's a lot of professions that if you are in that industry, you get eliminated. And with Eric being such a roundabout type of guy, a Renaissance man, I would assume that he hits one of those professions. So there's really no way he could get picked for a jury.
It's true. Although he won't, you know, he won't tell him what he really does.
Oh, yeah.
He'll say, I'm an artist.
Right.
That's what he'll, what do you do, sir? I'm an artist.
Yeah.
So that's what you do. And he'll never say, I work for the Patriots. I'm a reporter. Because he doesn't consider himself that.
Well, maybe he could be the courtroom sketch guy for the trial, but the problem is it wouldn't be ready for like 2 years afterwards, you know?
That's good.
Can I get a light bright so I can try?
Yeah, so he's doing jury duty, doing his civic duty.
Can you imagine all those poor people he's talking to, like if he was sequestered?
No, I'm sure he's by himself.
He'd be the one angry man or whatever, the one guy that everybody hates because he won't go along with everybody.
Yeah.
No, I know more than you.
Or maybe the defendant is like, was a 19-year-old and,
God forbid the defendant, like, accidentally hit a dog or something.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
We're going to have the electric chair in Rhode Island.
All right. Paul's he's checked out. He's checking it.
You notice that he doesn't do Twitter except between the hours of 12 and 2 on Tuesday to Thursday?
Right. I'm not on Twitter.
Are you circle jerking?
No.
Oh.
All right.
My son is sick. I'm just trying to let my father know when he can get his medicine and stuff like that, if
you
must know.
Has he got bad cold or flu?
He's got strep throat.
Oh, my wife has strep throat.
Well, TJ has it too, so we're pretty sure. But
can you keep
that
to yourself?
This is the first time he's had it since he had his tonsils removed about 3 years ago, so not supposed to get it, you know, very often after that.
All right. Let's hit the phones, all right?
Are you sure?
Sounds good.
Is it late enough in the show? I know you get offended if we talk to somebody too
early. We're told that Rob Ninkovich will be by later, so I want to make sure that we've, you know, talked to enough people before he comes. Because
can you make sure when we do that interview that you don't ask a bunch of boring football questions early on in the interview and drag the interview down like you do sometimes?
Can you let me get a word in edgewise?
Oh, my God. All right.
I don't like when you talk over me all the time. I'm not even going to be heard.
These player interviews, you have to ask all the questions, and you ask all these boring football questions that no one wants to hear.
All right. Let's go to John and Bourne. Hey, John.
Oh, hi, guys. How you doing? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm first-time caller, and I've been listening since, the date, week two of the 2009 season when they lost against the Jets.
Okay. Wow.
So I've been here for a while.
That would have been a 16-9 defeat. Okay, go ahead.
I know they didn't get in the end zone, but it was a bad. I don't like the game, so I broke up with my fiance the day before. So, kind of a bad memory. So.
Double whammy. Yeah.
So, what made you like? Why exactly did you just happen upon us, or did you seek us out? How did you? Why that week?
You know what? I was looking for like an escape route. You know. Trying to get my mind off things, and I was, you know, I followed the Patriots a long time, and I think I went to the website. I didn't even know your website existed, and I saw that there was a weekly radio show, and I've been hooked ever since.
So you didn't know about Patriots.com?
Well, the internet had just crossed the canal. They hadn't gotten the internet across the canal yet.
How's that bridge going in Sagamore? Are they finished with that yet?
They're still painting it. More, you know, it's. They're never going to be done. So
you just take the tunnel, though, right?
I have a helicopter pad.
Oh, there you go.
So, what do you got for us today?
You know, whenever I hear that, listen to EEI, or you know, you guys are the only guys that mention it. But when are we going to start? You know, looking at the quarterback as an issue. And let me phrase: I'm the biggest Brady fan here, but you know, he hasn't delivered when the time is there. And you know, I was really intrigued by getting Blount last year and getting that running game going. And it's, I don't want to sound critical, but, you know, in the most important time, I want to take the ball out of his hands. And, you know, what can we do to maybe take the load off Brady and, you know.
Take the load off Brady. I part company with you there about, you know, the most important time you can't depend on. I think the Patriots should be looking at the position, but not because Brady's time is over and
And Paul's going to yell at me here because this is where we're putting. When are we going to look at the court? I think he has terrible playmakers around him. When Gronk's not on the field, I think they have nobody who can make a play offensively. I don't think Amendola has proven himself a playmaker. I don't think Edelman has proven himself an offensive playmaker that can make. Even Hernandez, if you remember, I used to be critical. When the game's on the line, I thought there were times he turtled. So I think it's just as much about the talented playmaker, and it's the same. We've been talking about this. You know, they need to add offensive weapons. Well, as Paul said, where are you going to put them? You're tied into some of your weapons you have now. But I personally don't believe Brady has enough playmaking weapons around him.
And right now, I agree with that. I mean, last year, the offense, I know that they finished third in the league in scoring. I think that was strictly as a result of Gronkowski in that six-week barrage that he put on.
A little help with Dick LeBeau.
And
took a week off.
And I just don't think that they have the weapons right now for them to be a well-balanced offense against teams of any ability.
Playoff.
Playoff caliber teams, they're not going to go out and put 40-plus on a consistent basis.
I just can't go there where, you know, when people are saying we can't depend on Brady anymore. No,
in the postseason.
Oh, come on.
That's kind of what I meant. I think we can depend on him. But like in the Super Bowl, the last one, we didn't have Gronkowski, and you know I say, you know, well, the ball hits the receiver's hands, you got to catch it. But I mean I could have made a throw like that. And you know, the Super Bowl in 2007, you know, he had all the weapons then, and what did he score? 14 points. So.
I know, but half the game he spent on his back.
John, don't worry about it. It's never his fault. Just remember.
I mean, we're
it's
going,
never
now,
his
now
fault.
Now we're going back, you know,
I know,
7
this,
years
this, I know, that's John's point. It's not,
it's all Peter
not just like a
fault. He never
it's not just a current thing. We're going
go,
back a ways.
I just can't go there.
I always just go with, I feel like if everybody does their job as well as Brady does his, you will win.
Right. There you go.
Very simple.
Yeah. But thanks yeah, for
it is what
me
it is.
On, guys.
Okay, John, thanks for the
off.
Call.
I'll sure to call again.
All right, thanks.
John.
I'm
thanks.
Glad we could help you out in 2009.
A new caller was born oh. in today's episode.
Oh, wow.
When he said that he was a...
Does he have an identity?
or is it supremacy?
Right.
When he said that he was the second week two... He's been listening since week two. I thought,
you thought it was
sure,
01?
I thought for sure he was going to say of 01.
I did, too. I was waiting for it.
My name's Casey. I'm in Western Mass. let's go to Eldridge in North Carolina. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
I'm doing good, too. That caller, I'm a Brady fan, and I'm going to stick up for Brady. Paul, you get mad if you want to.
I don't get mad. I love Brady.
I don't care. But one thing you got to remember, too. Brady, if he put the ball in the end zone, go ahead.
In 07, that's yep. absolutely right. They were losing in the last 3 minutes, and he went right down the field. Put the ball in the end zone. And who scored the touchdown? Randy Moss.
The comeback kid, he always did.
Eldridge's guy.
Now, I would counter that with Brady to have a terrible safety to start the
well, that was different.
Following Super Bowl.
2011, right?
No, I know. But
terrible.
If you're going to pick out plays, I'll pick out that one as a horrific
I thought he played
start.
Much worse in that game than he did in the 07
because I didn't think the Giants
ball,
were as dominant.
Should that play have been called a safety?
Absolutely.
Yes. Threw it in the middle of the field.
To nobody.
Safety, to nobody.
And to Fred's
just because you never see that, it doesn't mean it's not.
It's like intentional grounding.
How come
it should
all these
be called a lot
we
more.
We never see get called on
oh,
the Patriots.
Oh, come on.
Oh, don't say that you never see intentional grounding out
come
of the end
on,
zone.
Come on, take like, your pajamas
that's
off.
That's not like that field goal thing. You've never. I don't think we've seen it
no,
since.
No, have not.
And that was the first time it was ever called. That one's legit, the field
and
goal
that,
thing.
And part of the reason you never see that is because that play rarely ever happens because it's such a horrific play by the quarterback.
Right.
Got a question, but. Why everybody's in a hurry to get rid of Mallett, to trade Mallett? Even though he's the only quarterback on the roster besides Brady, he's been there for a couple of years. So if you get a rookie,
yeah.
or you get another free agent off, if it ain't Hoyer yeah. or Castle,
I think
that's Andy's point.
Eldridge, the people that are in a hurry to get rid of Mallett are mistakenly thinking that you can get a third or higher for him. Those of us who realize you can't. I'm
you
in
just
no,
turned into Eric, a condescending
yeah, no,
able.
But I'm in no hurry to get rid of him. I just realize he's not the heir apparent. And, you know, you're not going to get a third-round pick for him.
But that's just like Favre and Roger. Favre had Roger's combined for how many years? Six?
Yeah.
Seven?
Yeah.
And
three, but okay.
Roger's throwing. Well, Malik could be the same way.
No.
I just we no. Ha-
have you seen one thing that leads you to believe Ryan Mallett is a starting quarterback in the National Football League? No. The answer is no. You haven't. Because I haven't, and I've seen more than you.
In terms of ability at that time when Favre was still
like
playing
you.
and Rodgers was sitting on the bench, you can't even compare the gap between talents of Rodgers and Favre and Mallett and Brady now. People at that time who weren't you know, all Favre is
sick of
fans.
Choked up.
You know, thought that Rodgers should have been playing earlier than he did.
Yeah. Right. The only time people ever thought Mallett looked good is when his reps came before Tebow's. That's the only time anyone ever said, "Oh, he's better than him," because he was better.
But
do you remember? I can remember like a bunch of years ago, we would sit on the bleachers in like rookie camp before. You know, they didn't even have pads on or whatever. No, veteran camp, OT, something, and say, you know, if you just watch. And they don't have jerseys on because they don't have
right.
jerseys on. And Brady and Castle, you're like, they don't really look that different. You can't really tell the difference between the Hall of Famer and the didn't play in college seventh round pick. You never say that with Mallett because when the ball's zipping by somebody or doing crazy stuff, you say, well, he just doesn't look that good. So I think you need to get back to that. A guy where I'm not saying he's great. But does he look like he can perform the duties that are required of the position?
Having said that. I do think he has improved. Now,
he has.
Not enough to, you know, be a starting quarterback, but he has improved.
Well,
I
he'd
think.
Have to, right?
Yeah.
Otherwise, he would have been Kevin O'Connell, and they would
have
said,
to.
Well, but they would have said, get the F out,
right.
Like they did Kevin O'Connell. You stink. Yeah. We made a bad pick. We're going to cut ties.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he hasn't shown improvement, just not enough and nowhere near to the degree.
But you could see that this year, maybe. Who knows?
Right.
Year four jump is big.
No, if they went out and got, Mallett. I mean, you said with Kevin O'Connell, they knew that it was time. Maybe we'll see that this year with Mallett.
But O'Connell, they did it year one. Boom, you're gone.
Hey, Paul, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't have to ride in. I don't have to go anyway. What's the guy's name?
No idea.
I can't call his name. I had it through my tongue. I can't call his name now. But he got hired with the Patriots. And he's a scout.
Lombardi.
Lombardi, right. Since Lombardi came on, this week when I looked at the Patriots paper on the app on my phone, I see that we went through a lot of draft picks that came in and worked out than I've seen in 4 years.
No.
What's the question?
Maybe they got out there. Maybe there's more info on who's been
visiting. Because Lombardi's here and he has loose lips.
Right. No, but they bring in the same amount every year.
Now, it's different that we saw top five quarterbacks.
Right, and there's a limit.
Hey, you only have 30.
Okay, they brought in Evans, and they also worked out Evans.
They were at the pro day for Evans. They have not brought him in, to my knowledge. Well, by the way, I love him. If they
have 30 visits every year.
According to that app, or Patriots app, you did.
What Patriots app? We are the Patriots app.
They brought in Manziel. They didn't bring in Evans.
My knowledge was they did meet with Evans, or were at his pro, or whatever you want to call it.
At his place.
At A&M.
Texas. Right. Right.
But I have not. Maybe I'm wrong, Eldridge. But I don't know what app you're talking about, because we are the app.
They have 30 visits every year.
But that's still interesting. A top 10 receiver.
All right, it's always who the individuals are, depending on
if 15 of our 30 visits are spent on top half of the first round offensive players like quarterbacks and receivers.
Yeah,
I would find
that's
that interesting.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Nolan in California. Hey, Nolan.
Hey, what's up, you guys?
What's up, Nolan?
By the way, my Revis jersey came in a couple of days ago, a little birthday present.
Nice. With 24 on it?
What?
With 24 on it?
Where'd you order it? Bangkok?
No, it was actually, I did the custom made one.
Oh.
I kind of want to have his, like, nickname. So I did the custom made one.
Nice.
Yeah, so I've been wearing that for a while.
Nice. Doesn't that cost a lot of money? Isn't that
expensive? You're stoked.
You seem a little young to have that kind of money.
You in the drug business?
No.
Not as far as you know.
There's been a lot of speculation about, like, Bill Belichick and his draft pick. And you probably guys heard the movie Draft Day coming out. Do you guys think that's going to have, like, a positive effect in, like, how fans see the draft and maybe realize, oh, maybe, you know, it's not, you know, you win some, you lose some, and do you think it's going to have a positive effect on fans, or do you think it's going to kind of have like a negative Hollywood effect?
I really don't think it's going to have any effect, to be honest with you. I think it's a movie, and I think people are going to see it as that. It's Hollywood. And I actually don't think that a lot of people are going to see it, because it doesn't really look all that interesting to me.
Right? Just the whole premise.
Fred and I talked about this, and Fred's with me.
I don't go to the movies, but I will watch that when it's on DVD, just to see it.
Oh, yeah, when it's on demand.
But, yeah, it's not like, you know, Captain America. I got to go see it.
I want to go see Noah.
I don't see it. I don't see it being a huge impact either way.
Yeah.
I did find it interesting, according to Ben Volen, that he takes credit for. Did you read that little note about they taped a $100 bill to the back of the playbook? What I thought was missing there is, what if the guy's just a good guy and left the $100 bill?
Yeah.
Do you know the story, Fred, or do I need
I don't
need
to.
According
know the story.
To, you know, they have these, what do they call them? Like advisors on movies that, you know, try to bring credibility, realism, whatever.
Yeah. Dennis Leary is involved in that movie, and I guess he reached out to Belichick.
Is $100? Yeah, $100 bill. They would tape $100 bill to the back of a playbook of a prospect coming in. They would give it to him, and when the playbook comes back, if the $100 bill is still there, they know that the guy didn't reach the end of the playbook. Well, what if the guy reached it and just said, "It's not my $100 bill. I'm not taking it."
Right.
Maybe this is a test of my morality.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was seen
as. Think about that, you know, from the
unless there's a note underneath that, congratulations for getting to the end. This is yours.
Yeah, that wasn't said. I don't know that either way.
Yeah.
Because I would not take it. I would think I'm being set up like a mother.
I absolutely wouldn't take it for that reason.
Right.
I would think that they were testing me. Right. That was the test.
Right.
Like they wanted to see what kind of person they're getting.
Another example of them overthinking. football guys.
When, that's what I was thinking but not going to say.
He has his pajamas on, and then he rips them off and says something like that. Like,
you know?
You go from being overly positive to overly critical.
You do. All right.
Another example. Overthinking everything.
I just think...
There was something else I liked it. I think it was in that same thing that it gave credit to Belichick for sort of like innovating the 3-4 defense, or popularizing
the
3-4
defense. Yeah.
I'm like, what? Popularizing the 3-4 defense?
And it wasn't even the kid from Providence that said it. Remember that kid who used to lead every question?
You pretty much invented football, Bill.
The list of people that are on Bill's jock in the media has grown.
It's unbelievable.
I mean, Stacey Dales, remember that question at the draft a couple of years ago? Your work in the second round, and I refer to it as magic. Like, what? Get off your knees. I mean, seriously. He's a coach who has blown as many second round picks. Yes,
is
he acquires
anybody?
Them. But, like, the way that they, like, he has this adversarial relationship with the media, except everybody in the media kisses his ass.
What he did in the second round from 09 to now is why that I can't use anymore.
Apologize to drop a very.
Let's go to France, where Remy is calling from. Hey, Remy.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, oui, oui.
Hey. What's up?
Well, what's going on over in France? Those ladies got stinky pits, huh?
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah, absolutely. They certainly do. No, I'm probably the only caller from France, by the way.
I think you might be.
Ever.
We have Brussels and Belgium.
Yeah.
We do.
That's not really France.
Yeah,
no,
that's
it
not
is.
France. He's the only French caller. The only French crawler we have. Yeah.
Oh.
I wanted to talk about Rob Gronkowski and the tight end position. And you know, I saw a lot of mock drafts seeing the Patriots taking a tight end, including yours, Andy.
Yep.
In the first round. And, you know, I think, I don't know, I mean, is Rob Gronkowski ever going to be healthy? Like, is he ever going to play 16 or 15 games a year again?
I don't know.
I certainly think he could.
Yeah, I have to admit, I made fun of Andy years ago when he pointed to this as a possibility, and he's been right.
But the thing is, I'm not right. This is where we have one of our arguments.
He's even
going
to argue with you when you're telling him he's right.
He tore his ACL on an acute injury, a direct hit. It could have happened to anyone. It's same team. It wasn't because three guys were holding him up and he took a headshot.
It is because he's a huge target.
Well, it is, and he's a heavy target.
Yeah.
But I just think his last two major injuries, the back aside, the last two major injuries, a broken arm that was a freak play where he's reaching out on a PA, he's reaching out on a non-competitive play, to use his coach's terms.
It's not even
he broke his arm, and then he, you know, took a blow to the...
But the ankle with Pollard was a direct result of him, somebody dragging
but
somebody
I think
along.
These are...
So I do back, think, I think the there's back a chance. Surgery is the only one that I look back on. And that's what I thought.
But maybe that's gone. I think there's a chance he could play 16 games tomorrow.
I think he'll have another one for that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe he got
the bad luck.
It's like the Patriots Super Bowls, I always say. If they spread him out, would you feel better and they didn't have this drought later in the... Maybe he's got all these injuries out of the way and he's going to go 4 or 5 years playing 15 or 16 games every
year.
That's
what we all hope for as Patriot fans.
But the bottom line is you can't expect that, and you also can't expect for him to be Gronk early in the year, and that's why I see tight end as one of the primary needs.
What do you say, Remy?
All right.
Well, do you disagree with me?
Kind of. You know, I don't know. I'm a pretty negative guy, but
so
I see Rob Gronkowski being, you know, the next Bob Sanders, a guy who's consistently being injured, even though he's got elite talent. And I mean, I don't know. I guess you're right. They're all fluke injuries, anyways. But
so do you think they need a tight end in the first round?
Yeah, I think so. They do. Yeah, Michael Olomanawinui is not, you know, the equivalent of a decent backup.
I would agree.
He's okay, but
I think now on the depth chart they have a one who's injured and they have a three. They don't have a backup to the guy who's injured.
Yeah.
And you need that right now, I think. Yeah. And by the way, that was one of the reports
Remy.
Owen Daniels said that the Patriots had worked him out or were interested in him before he landed in Baltimore.
Okay.
And we had talked about one of those veteran options. Maybe you get value and you hope he's healthy and boom. And
physical thing, absolutely. And he's a guy who could catch the ball, would fit the mold of the kind of guy.
And I would alter my need
they were missing
based
because of the Hernandez situation. He's more of a Hernandez move kind of tight end, the way they call him now. Move tight ends. Got to have all the
length
down, Freddie.
Who's they?
All the writers that
Which
throw around
move
wise and
Which
move.
Writers?
And guys like Burt Breer, you know. Looking for a
Y. Bert Breer actually made me laugh out loud this morning. Somebody tweeted him and said, I have to fly to Charlotte via, what's the airline he hates? American or US Air? What should I prepare for? And he replied, to spend the night in Charlotte.
Right.
It made me laugh out loud.
Let's go to Noel in Denver. Hey, Noel.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
What's up? What's up, Noel?
Hey, it's beautiful weather here in Denver today. 75 tomorrow. Let's play some golf.
All right.
Hell yeah.
Hey, that's kind of cool. Hey, by the way, I wasn't going to call except for that guy that called in and said Brady is the reason we're not winning. Didn't he lead us in the last two Super Bowls before the defense gave up touchdowns?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. So we need playmakers. And I have a question for you guys. When we have a playmaker available like a Jared Allen or a DeSean Jackson or someone like that, we have a tendency not to go after him. And I don't think either one of them was overpriced. Do you?
DeSean Jackson was.
Yeah, DeSean Jackson was overpriced. Jared Allen, you can argue, for a 30-something pass rusher who, depending on your view, Pro Football Focus, what have you, maybe is overrated at this point in his career. You could have argued, I would have paid him. I would have given him the 15.5 guaranteed type money. But it's hard to argue they don't go after somebody who's available when they signed the best player available in Darrell Revis.
Well, that was wonderful.
It was.
Right.
Even.
I mean, that's exciting to look at. Who do you feel might come through, seeing that we don't have an added pass rusher? Do you think Armstead could be that guy or not?
No, he's a middle of the line guy.
Well, he's one of those tweeners that can play some outside. He was a true defensive end at USC. Pete Carroll said, pencil him in. He was a right defensive end. He was our next first round pick in that role. And then things went south, obviously, with the heart and blah, blah. He's bigger now. And he's definitely a tackle who could play some end. But as I said, I wouldn't be stunned to see him playing end and Jones playing on the inside in some situations, assuming, you know, he still has all his limbs and is on the field.
Now, again, I his name keeps coming up, but
you have the football
not on
acumen.
My list.
I do.
You have the, you know, all the football whereabouts. Why would you want to have the smaller guy inside and the bigger guy outside?
So just a matchup thing. The speed that, you know, the guard might not be capable to match the athleticism and the speeds on the inside. The bigger guy maybe can overpower attack. Like, for example, if you're playing the Patriots, I think you could argue that Chandler Jones could have a chance to bitch slap Logan Mankins and beat him with speed and athleticism. And I think you could argue Armin Armstead might be able to overpower Nate Solder and bull rush him. I think Solder still has strength as a weakness. Okay. So that's a matchup example.
Part two of my question.
Part two.
The reason why I asked.
Two-part question,
Don? Does it concern you or does it worry you at all that they seem to be needing to use Chandler Jones in those kind of gimmicky ways, and he's not one of those guys you just line up and say, just beat the tackle?
A little bit. A little teeny bit.
So you see where I'm going there?
I like, somebody asked, you know, did he make the year two jump? And
a little bit. He got better, but not as much better as
elite.
I thought he was going to.
And it has not necessarily proven to me that he's going to be an elite pass rusher. Game-changing edge rusher.
Yeah, I didn't want that
you know
to
what we've always
negative,
talked about?
Because I didn't mean it as negative.
Jason
but
Taylor, Julius Peppers when he's on. I have not seen that Chandler Jones is going to be that.
Like,
good,
see,
very
those,
good, but great.
Some
edgy.
Of those teams that you see do different things up front, like the Giants with that NASCAR thing that they made popular, was because they had so many elite pass
right.
rushers. You know, Justin Tuck wasn't a failure because they moved him inside. It was because they had Michael Strahan and O.C. Umanura,
Kiwanuka,
you know, and then later they had Jason Pierre-Paul. So, to me, if you want to put Chandler Jones inside, that's fine, but I don't want to do it for Armin Armstead outside.
No, I don't think
it's just like a one-time gimmick.
I think it's a but we know Bill likes to move things around.
I know, and I don't like it.
Well, you
I want to just win.
Can't take as many snaps this year,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yep. Well, but right now you have yet to add anybody who you can definitively say is going to take the load off those two.
Right.
You
hey,
may
I have
think
one more question, guys, before I go, if you don't mind.
No problem. Shoot.
Hey, I would. I hope we stay away from Chris Johnson, please.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Johnson would be in the mix, but you never know.
And I think Dobson is going to come on as a real, real good receiver for us. But I'd like to ask you a question. I think we should take a tight end in the first round, and I also. How do you feel about one of these three quarterbacks down the road? Mettenberger?
Love
Garoppolo,
Mettenberger.
Or McCarron? Which one would you take?
Mettenberger, and it's not even close.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Mettenberger, I said this last week, I think he might be the best quarterback in this draft. I think he may end up being phenomenal.
I don't really like McCarron all that much, and Garoppolo I just don't know enough about. But
Fred loves Garoppolo.
Mettenberger is the guy I like the most.
Will he be available in the second or third round or not?
Doesn't sound like the third.
A lot of people are talking second round now for him, where it was third and fourth, like around the combine. Now it seems like he's creeping up, and supposedly
because he's good,
he's going to be doing everything at his pro day later this month, I believe. And they're saying he's got a full clearance to do everything. Now that you're not getting hit,
but now a lot of bad teams. Like, you know, he was going to Jacksonville today. You know, bad teams that need quarterbacks are interested, and not necessarily the first, but early
thing,
second.
Andy, it's our Bill O'Brien thing. Clowney with the number one overall pick, Mettenberger with the first pick of the second
round. He's set up forever, for life.
That's what you do.
For life.
All right, hey guys, Noel, thanks for the call.
Thanks a million, guys. I really appreciate you taking my call.
No problem.
I did want to clarify. We got an email. Maybe somebody tweeted me. He does have a – he did go to Georgia, was kicked off Georgia, had a mild sexual assault battery thing.
Don't call it mild.
Well, I mean,
when you don't know,
I think if it was a bigger deal,
said maybe.
No, but I think if it was a bigger deal, it would be made a bigger deal by people who know, who cover these LSU and Georgia, know more about the situation. I think a lot of guys, things happen. You know, he got kicked out of Georgia. There is no denying that. And it was female related. I don't believe people were questioning. Robert Kraft said when he was talking about Browner, I believe was the answer
right.
about it's not like an issue with
women. Right.
This is why you don't make those kinds of comments.
Me?
No.
Anyone.
Robert shouldn't have said that.
For all I know, maybe Mettenberger is off the Patriots board because he has a something on his record that was a crime, minor, major, whatever, against a woman. I don't know. I don't know that enough to say. But talent wise, on field wise, I think Mettenberger is going to be really good.
Okay.
And again, that was 5 years ago now, I believe. Not totally saying it's gone.
And I'd also want to be
guys,
something that I'd want to hear more about. Yeah. I'd want to know what happened.
And honestly, I kind of kid about Garoppolo. I don't know that much about him either. But of the guys
I've seen. He could play a little bit. Yeah. I just don't know enough about him.
But of the guys I've seen, Mettenberger seemed more pro-ish.
Oh, he's tremendous.
I think he's the
tall, strong arm, pocket passer.
He's more of a pocket passer. He's not very mobile. He's
more accurate, I think, than people give him credit for. I saw Paul watching his tape. Okay, I liked him. Then watching some of the receivers,
like Odell
Beckham and the other kid, and you say, like, he's throwing these in cuts and these slants, and it's what we talk Mallett can't do. It's not always, you know, in front of him so they can make the triangle, catch it in stride. It's behind, you know. I like Mettenberger a really lot.
And I also like,
and Arthur Lynch likes him.
He really stands in.
Okay.
For whatever that's worth.
Well, he played.
They were together for, I believe, their first year at Georgia before Mettenberger. And Arthur Lynch is a pretty smart.
Go ahead.
I don't think he would, support a guy that he thought was like a serial rapist.
Right.
I don't think he would want to be tied to him. And he has come out. He said, you know, Mettenberger, that guy's got some Brady in him. You know, that's not something I would be doing if I thought the guy was, a problem off the field.
Yeah, he's not mobile. He's not going to run around and make a play. But he also he'll stand in the pocket and deliver. I saw some times where it looked like he got a little overwhelmed with the pass rush. His protection wasn't always the greatest at times. But man, there was some back and forth shootouts that they got in. I think there was one against Georgia, as a matter of fact, that him and Murray went back and forth. I think he ended up losing it, but he must have scored late. Three times to take the lead, and they just kept coughing it back up. I think he's the kind of guy that has the skill set to fit right in immediately the way he plays.
He's also the answer to our question. You know how some people have asked, you know, with the why don't you wear a brace, blah, 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 you know, with ACL being. I'm 99% sure he had a Donjoy, the brace of all braces on when he tore his ACL. His front leg, ACL, I believe he tore while wearing a brace.
Did you watch the Murray injury when he hurt his, tore his ACL. I thought that was kind of a cheap shot. It was like a defensive lineman wrapped him up after he threw and kind of like laid on him, like fell on him. And it looked like that's when he sort of rolled and got injured. It looked like kind of a cheap play to me.
I do want to get to this one email, because it's close to the heart of Eric. About animals. And
do you want to do three or four, by the way?
Stephen Westford says, I don't usually get to listen live, but I'm home today trying to train a 10-month-old bloodhound puppy, new to us, quite a handful, formerly abused, very nervous, shaky, peeing whenever nervous, pooping in a crate at night.
Sounds like me.
It's only been one night, though. Any suggestions or ideas? I do. I know the crate training is important, and that's the best way to train a dog, but they also say that you have to separate yourself from the dog. I don't think that you have to do that. Put it in the crate, but keep it in your room or where it can see you, because the dog's been abused, and he has to get to know that you're not going to abuse him. So I think the more time he spends with you, even at night, the more comfortable he's going to be. I would go against that advice that, you know, the dog has to be in a separate room and can't be with you at night.
Well, I did that with my dog, but I slept on the floor next to the crate with him for the first couple
extreme.
Nights.
Yeah.
And I literally, because he was like just crying and all night, and I had my arm in the crate and I pet him, and I don't know why that made a difference. Like he's right. My dog now. He listens to me more than anyone. He loves right. the crate. So I do think there are some you can kind of fudge those rules.
Right, yeah.
But the crate is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I stand by. I didn't know anything about it beforehand. My dog loves his crate. He'll go in there when he wants to. He knows bedtime. He goes in there. I think there is a value in the crate.
But the fact that his dog is, you know, pooping and peeing in the crate.
Which is what you're not supposed to.
Right.
Also, I've been told if it's too big, that can be an issue. A lot of these crates are you have to put it like a divider or something
right.
early on,
they
so
like
they have
the
limited
security.
Space.
Yeah,
yeah, and the idea is they generally won't pee and poop where they sleep.
Exactly.
But if you give them too much room, they kind of have the ability to do both. So he might want to cordon off some of the crate.
Yeah, but that whole thing about the crate has to be in a separate room. I don't think that that's necessarily true.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah,
I don't know exactly on that, but like I said, I did sleep next
but
to him for two
luck.
Nights.
You know, it's awful when these dogs get abused.
And we'll have to run that by Eric to get the expert viewpoint on that.
Yeah. Well, he's never had a dog, which is the amazing thing. He's, you know,
he's never had a woman either. And he's expert on them too.
You know, all of these organizations, nationally and internationally, that devote their lives to protecting animals.
Right.
Eric's going to do it the right way now.
Right.
We'll have
paint
that.
Pictures of them. Let's go to Chris with a TIAN. Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys. I had a quick question about the draft.
Okay.
And,
that would be a good one.
It was about the cornerback position. And hypothetically speaking, let's assume that we only have Revis and Browner for 1 year, which some people think that they're just one-year rentals. Do they look at corner with that first pick, or just too many other needs to do it.
I think they would look. I don't think it'll necessarily be at the top of the needs-based
approach.
I liked
a couple. I watched a little of those guys yesterday, and I liked a couple of them. I liked the Verrett kid, and I liked the kid from Oklahoma State, whose name is escaping me now. There's some talent there. I kind of agree with Andy.
Yep.
I'm not sure that it would be the top need that they would have, but I think they need help in the secondary. I think they need to find a guy that they can plug in for 5 years. And I do think there's a chance that both of those guys end up being one-year rentals. Obviously, Revis, it's certainly odds are that it'll be 1 year.
And if Logan Ryan is being moved to safety, like we've had those reports, then that removes a recent young developmental player from that mix.
Justin Gilbert was the guy I was thinking of from Oklahoma State and Denard, you know, the cousin of
Dennard.
Good
luck, Fred.
From Michigan State. I like those guys, and I think Gilbert and Verrett is like a, you know, 1-2 round kind of guy. So I look at him as he should be available. You know, at 29, you should have a chance to do him, even if you want to do your even if you wanted to do your normal trade down kind of deal that a lot of people think that, you know, people say it's a deep draft. That means you should trade down. I don't necessarily believe that.
But the other, I still look at that as, I have a couple positions where I feel like I need to get an immediate contributor. And tight end, I still think safety. By the way, it's Day-on Buchanan. Day-on Buchanan. But I still think safety and tight end are positions where you need, and I would even probably put pass rusher above corner and a long-term corner prospect.
Pass rusher is my top. Yeah. So I agree with you on that. That's my
top. Three spots you'd be considering potentially over corner at that pick.
Yep.
All right,
Christian.
So you want
Thanks
the tight end more than me.
Yeah, I do.
But we've exhausted that one.
Dan of Virginia
we
writes
don't exhaust
in,
anything.
Eric's on jury duty. I can see him starring in a remake of the Henry Ford classic with the revised title One Angry Man.
That's what I was thinking.
Right. As for Ninko appearing on your show, that's too bad. I really liked him, and I'll miss him being on the Patriots.
No. There is, no way they could, right?
We've had Mayo on the show.
He got hurt.
He's still here.
Now, there is a chance, I think, because Ninkovich in the group setting, the gangbang outside, brought up, I haven't missed a game since 2009, and I'm thinking, Really? I mean, are you just taunting the injury gods flat out? But, you know.
He shot at Gronk.
Wow. He's a muckraker over here.
That's what they would write in New York. Ninkovich calling Gronk soft.
Chris in Philly, the headline, PFW 2 negative? Question mark. Hey, guys, just wanted to ask why a lot of you guys seem negative on the Patriots players like McCurdy. Not saying he didn't suck as a number one cornerback. But I don't think you guys give him enough credit at free safety. He's universally regarded as a top five free safety in the league, and callers like Eldridge think he still can't play. And Gerard Mayo, even though he may not be a Hall of Famer defensive MVP caliber inside linebacker like Patrick Willis or Luke Luekley, he's still a very good...
Luekley?
Yeah, Keekley.
Keekley.
But he wrote Luke Luekley.
And you didn't change it because you don't know his name.
Okay. He's still a very good linebacker and better than the vast majority of guys at his position. He was the defensive rookie of the year, made the all-pro team in 2010, was a pro bowler in 12, and just because he's not Navarro Bowman, some think we shouldn't have him give him a new contract.
No, he doesn't need a new contract. He already has a $50 million contract.
And you guys
he's paid more money than those guys.
You guys are starting to do the same thing with Hightower and Jones. Jones leads his draft class in sacks, and some are saying he's been a disappointment because
he didn't make
a massive leap his second year. Neither did Robert Quinn. And Hightower struggled the first half of his second year after he took Mayo's place, and now he's a borderline bust to some people, despite the fact he's starting playing much better by the end of the year. I'm right with you, Chris. Everything that Chris said, I've said. So
right, and it's what you said about Merriweather until we released him.
Yeah, to me, it's all about.
No, it's you guys all said he's a two-time Pro Bowler. He's a hard hitter.
Right.
He's a better than this. He's a better than that.
What I was saying is I was questioning whether or not people judge the safety position a little too harshly because there aren't a lot of good ones.
But now, once he was gone, you and everybody else said he sucked.
See,
we happened to say he sucked when he was still here.
What I think we do here is when our guy...
He wasn't worth the first-round pick, but in terms of safeties
so
in the league...
utterly overrated.
There's a lot of safeties in the league that are right around...
It's
Brandon
funny, he's
Merriweather
no longer a Pro Bowl
that's
safety.
That's ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
That's one of the things that I think that we do around here is when a guy... When we have a guy that gets some accolades or whatever, we compare him and we say, well, who's better? I don't care who's better. I only care about if the guy is a good player. Brandon Merriweather's not a good player. He wasn't a good player here, and he hasn't been a good player where he's gone. He's constantly out of the lineup. Okay, Devin McCourty might be one of the five best free safeties. I don't care about all the other safeties. He's not playing that position at a particularly impressive level.
He's good.
He's not great. And we talk about Gerard Mayo. Maybe he's not Patrick Willis and Navarro Bowman. He's paid like that. He's
That's
paid
what
like
I'm
those players.
Of. I hold contracts against guys.
So,
I can be honest.
And now McCourty is going to get one of those contracts probably within the next 6 months. And then, I'm sorry, he's not Earl Thomas. But he'll get paid like those the high-end guys. He's going to get a Jarris Bird contract. Is he as good as him? I don't think so. Do you? Before you yell at us later and you tell us about how much better he is than everybody else.
No, he's probably not as good as Bird.
But he's going to get paid comparable to that.
We'll see.
I was thinking about this, and I don't know why, but the Revis talk, how many Patriots do you think are in the running, which legitimately in the running, for the best player at their position in the National Football League, not the NBA?
Well, Revis is one, obviously.
That's how I think.
You know what's funny? I totally forgot. I was thinking two, Gronk and Brady, and I totally forgot about Revis.
See, I go deeper than that. I give Mankins credit for that.
Yeah. Okay.
I give Brady and Gronk.
I think he's falling off, but
Will Fork, I think.
Yeah.
And Revis. I was thinking like 5 of 22.
That's not bad.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah.
5 of 22 are in the mix, and
sure.
I haven't done the other 31. I need Mike Sando to do it or something. I just wonder if we were honest, how many each team has, and what the average is, the best is, the worst is. But that just, when I was bored in Ninkovich's press conference, that's what I was thinking about.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Josh is in Florida. He wants to talk about Taj Boyd.
Yeah, I'm here, and I want to know why you think nobody's talking about him, and you think he'll be a good fit if we could get him in a low round?
I don't, personally. I don't want to offend John Rook, who was all over Taj Boyd early last year and wanted him. I think he's just inconsistent. I don't think he fits anything like what the Patriots want in a quarterback. You know, you look at a place where they liked Matt Cassel. They liked Brian Hoyer. I don't see Taj Boyd as in that mold at all. They would be totally going in a different direction.
Well, you would. And they like Cassel and they like Hoyer as backups to Brady.
Correct.
You know, so, yeah, if you get a Boyd, you're talking completely different.
But and Taj Boyd is considered now a late-round pick, a 5-6-7 type pick. I just think he's one of those guys that can be boom or bust within games, within seasons, within a career, I guess you would say. I'm just not really all that interested in him. Paul, I don't know.
Thanks, Josh.
I agree about Boyd. I think there's a physical ability there that is pretty good, but he hasn't really been able to put it together consistently for whole seasons. And I think Clemson is a team that has a lot of talent. They have a lot of individual ability. Sammy Watkins is the guy right now that a lot of people think is one of the five best players in this whole draft.
The other guy, Bryant, is a potential late first round pick.
Yeah, I mean, they have good players, and they've had good players. It's not like they're, you know, Vanderbilt. They're the little engine that could, and you're trying to get over the hump. No.
They're closer to Georgia, where they have a lot of talent, and they're never really in the
mix.
They're
the Georgia or the ACC, whereas they always have as much or more talent than everybody else. But they find a way to lose a game or two. And, you know, when they play the SEC teams, they get outclassed. Like, South Carolina has whacked them around like four or five years in a row. Now, South Carolina's good. I'm not saying that that's embarrassing, but that's a big rivalry game. And you shouldn't lose every time to your big rival like that the way they have.
Let's go to Matt in Oregon. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how's it going, boys?
Hey, where you been?
Matt. I've been around.
Hunting? What'd you catch lately? Or shoot, or whatever you call
actually, it. I got in Colorado this year, and it was a great year. But I'm living in Maine now. And
really?
Yes, he said that last time. You should listen. I knew that. I didn't have to ask.
He can't even remember his own name.
This year in Maine.
My son's in Bridgeton right now.
I'm looking.
Who did I see that went there?
Don't shoot him.
Oh, your guy, Wiggy.
Wiggins went there.
And he was just last week went to speak or something. He drove up to, and he was like, oh, brings back memories taking pictures while driving.
Wiggy. Imagine Wiggy coming to talk to your son.
Right. This is the perfect product of Bridgeton Academy. So what's up, Matt?
Couple of things. First of all, Andy, how's the training going?
Very good, knock on wood. We're coming down the home stretch here, just tapering down, been healthy. Looking forward to finishing my race and my running career.
Well, I feel the same way. I'm actually running, too.
Oh, you're doing the marathon?
I am.
Nice.
I'm a paramedic, and I was actually there last year at the bombing, and
I ended up
in the triage tent after the whole thing.
You.
Yeah, it was awful. But as a result, I was given an invitational entry into this year's run, so I'm doing this year's run.
Nice. How's your training going?
All right. I'm working on a bum hammy, so it's been okay, but not great. But I have kind of a fun fact for you guys. Normally, I listen to the podcast when I'm at the gym. So your show makes cocks bigger, as Fred has said. However, I've been listening to your podcast as I'm doing my run, and I'm losing weight, so your show now makes cocks smaller.
Oh, okay. By the way, Matt's last name is Cox, just in case.
Yes, that's my last name.
People may not know that.
Yes. Have you lost weight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, actually, the last couple of weeks I've been putting it back on, you know, as my recovery time from the long run. You know,
right.
You need so much time afterwards that year.
People don't know, but the history of Matt Cox as a listener to this show is he actually came to visit us once and set up a grill.
Yes.
In the parking lot during the week and grilled up elk for us.
And it was yummy.
Yeah.
And what's it called? The back or something?
Caused a bit of a stir among backstrap. Security.
Right.
Yeah, we had some issues.
What the hell is this guy doing? The game's not for 5 days.
The only midweek tailgater in Foxborough history.
Right.
Well, it wasn't even anywhere near being on season either. It was a winter.
Right.
Yeah. Right. He's homeless.
Yeah.
So that's good. You're running the marathon. I'll look for it. What kind of what's your pace?
Well, I with this hamstring, you know, I'm hoping to be somewhere around 4.5 hours.
Okay, well, I could be in that mix. My projected time last year was 4:17. I'm hoping to do better, but you never know once the race starts how it's going to unfold.
Well, and that Heartbreak Hill, I'm a little nervous about that Heartbreak Hill.
Ah, don't worry about it. The one you should worry about is the one before it. It kicks your ass.
Really?
Yeah, it's way worse. I don't even know what it's called or something, but there are hills before Heartbreak that I was like, are you
mad at that
kidding
far?
Me that there's more to come? There's a fire.
Well, that's why by the time you get to Heartbreak,
right,
it's
you're
like,
done.
Oh,
it's
God.
Like the location of it. But no, you'll be fine. It's great. Just cross your fingers like I am for weather.
Yeah, really. This running in the cold sucks.
Well, you don't want it in the heat either.
Yeah, but that's my worry, is all of a sudden it's going to be like 80 and
right.
I won't be prepped.
I just can't see it. I mean, I don't want to jinx you, but...
And by the way, if you didn't want to run in the cold, you probably shouldn't have moved to Maine.
Well, it hasn't been much warmer in Mass.
No, it actually hasn't. It's pretty much sucked everywhere to train for this one.
Yeah. All right, Matt.
All right, Matt, I'll look for you.
One thing before you guys let me go.
Yeah.
I'm also, and I'm not trying to take away from Andy's fundraising, but I'm also fundraising for the Martin Richards Foundation.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
I made a post on the PFW Elite Facebook page. And, like I said, I don't want to take anything away from Andy's fundraising, but if people could find it in their hearts to scrape together a couple more bucks, that would be huge.
Yes. Head on over to the Patriots, what is it? The
PFW Elite.
PFW Elite page. Preamble the J and help Matt out.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks,
boys.
Thanks.
All right.
Congratulations, Matt.
Yep. Take care.
Okay. Let's go down to Miami where Marcus is waiting online. Hey, Marcus.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
It's a windy day based on our callers because we've had people in Boston that were in the wind, people in Miami in the wind.
Are you sailing in the middle of the ocean?
No, not right now. That was earlier this week. Did a little fishing out there on the water. You know, I got a fish for you guys because you guys are in freezing rain or whatever.
Yeah,
I know.
What'd you catch? You know? Anything big? A marlin?
No marlins. You know, just a wrist snapper.
Nice.
I had a couple of questions. We'll hang up after this because I got to get a couple of deep pools, so I'm struggling to talk right now.
Not nice.
Not nice at all. What are you? I've been looking at our team, a lot of moves that other people are making, and I'm just ecstatic about this offseason. I really want people to forget about football right now. I know that's kind of weird, but you know we got the NBA playoffs, we have the World Cup. I want to be able to focus on July because you know once the World Cup ends, that's training camp right there around the 15th or the 16th, and then you know we got our games or whatever. But going forward into the draft, which I guess is the next big thing in the NFL, I want to know what you guys and you guys can all chime in. And I'll hang up and listen. What grades do you give our team right now, from quarterbacking to the receivers to the and then the overall offense, and then the same thing with the position players, defense, and the overall defense? Because we went 12-4 last three one of those years. One of the players we just picked up, and we haven't had a healthy Gronk or a healthy or Hernandez for that matter in a long time collectively. So I just wanted to see your guys' grades on our team, and I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks, Marcus.
1 month from today, by the way, from tonight, the draft.
Okay.
That's quarterback, Paul.
A, obviously.
Oh, really?
Yes.
In the regular season?
Yeah.
Postseason?
Yeah, B minus.
Quarterback, A. Running backs, I'm going to say B. B. Offensive line, I am going to say, based on last year, the overall sum of the year, I'm going to say B minus.
Yeah, I would agree.
Wide receivers,
C plus.
I was going to go a little less. Yeah, okay, I'll go C. I'll be healthy, nice, healthy average. And tight ends, incomplete.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, because if you have Gronk, then you're an A. Yeah.
And you don't,
but
it's an F.
And you have nothing.
And I think Marcus's point is he wants to know, honestly, how far away do we think they are? You know, he's citing the fact that they were 12-4 with not a full team, in his opinion. And, you know, how far away are we? And I think that, you know, every year is different, obviously. But with the moves they've made and, you know, what they probably will do in the draft, you know, I would put them at an A-minus team going into the year. You know, and very few teams are an A, I would give the Broncos an A.
I wouldn't.
I would give the Seahawks an A and maybe San Francisco.
I'd put them all at A-.
Yeah.
You put everybody equal with the Patriots?
No.
Oh, okay.
I would probably have the Patriots a little lower.
Okay.
I would probably have B-plus for the Patriots, A- for the others. Or
so they just have to earn the A.
Yeah, you're just being, you know.
No, I
everybody sucks.
So basically you're saying they're a half grade away, which is what
they're
I'm
a half
saying.
A grade or a grade below.
Yeah.
I'd have to give them a full grade because they got blowed out by a team that got blowed out by a team. So that's going to be two half grades, which is a whole grade.
Yeah. Circumstances.
Here we go.
Circumstances. What were those circumstances?
Injuries.
You couldn't sniff a quarterback?
Everybody was hurt for the Patriots. No one was hurt for the other teams.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
That's the circumstances.
Certain guys weren't.
That's the circumstances.
The Patriots had injuries. We've given you that, Fred. They had major injuries.
Major
they had
injuries.
What?
Major. I mean, not just injuries. They had major injuries to important people.
Is he mocking you, Fred?
I mean, for some reason, we can't say this about all the teams. We can only say it about the Patriots.
Chris writes in, definitely missing Eric Silence. Here's something for you guys to get a great laugh about the Jets. Headline, petition to ban Michael Vick from Jets training camp hits 2,600 signatures due to the dogfighting conviction.
Yeah, I saw Rich Samini write about that this morning.
Side note, Merriweather was a crappy safety, but defenses were scared coming over the middle because of the possibility of getting blowed up, legal or not.
No one was afraid of
that. Enjoying the live broadcast up here in Hamilton, Ontario.
Hey.
All right. After the break, I can see Rob Ninkovich heading down the hall. I have X-ray vision through the walls. So we're going to take a quick break, and by that time, when we're done, we'll have Rob Ninkovich here in the studio.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected.
We're NRG, and we're a new kind of energy company, one that's hard at work making the most of renewable sources of energy, one whose solar energy is helping power football stadiums across the country, one that's developing new technologies that can one day turn your home into its own source of power and put you in charge of how you use it. We're putting that power into your hands. NRG, the power to change life.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go. Go. That's it. Come on. Kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved, with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time
with Fred Kirsch.
This is at St. Thomas the Apostle School in New Jersey. Ronald Robinson.
Good Catholic school.
He came back to
Ronald
class.
Ronald Robinson. Was it a fight or were you being
No, what happens was we would always have, there was always two groups. One group played keep away, or back then we called smear the queer. Which
yep, me
could,
too.
Which you couldn't call
well,
today.
We played.
And then the other group would play football.
Probably shouldn't say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, one group was play football. So one time I was in the group playing keep away, and Ronald Robinson in the football said, oh, you guys are pussies playing that game.
I guess we're just going to say everything today.
So then.
It's realism.
So then a couple weeks ago, it was opposite. We were the ones playing football, and they were playing keep away. And I said to them, oh, who's the pussy now? So Ronald Robinson, who was tall at that time but thin, came, you know, we're like, you know, chest to chest. He's like, say that again. I'm like, who's the pussy now? And he punched me in the jaw, you know, and I remember, I can remember this like it was yesterday. I remember thinking,
obviously.
Boy, you know what? That didn't really hurt that much. And if I attacked
so
him,
he was a pussy.
Yeah.
Wait, you, just because he said it twice doesn't mean
he
was okay.
And now. I was thinking to myself, if I attacked him right now, and I kept myself from doing it, and I shouldn't have. I did the same thing to Richie Campanella. I dared him to say something, and he did it. And I socked him in the stomach and doubled him over.
That was Story Time with Fred Kirsch.
All right, as promised, we have Rob Ninkovich live in the studio. Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Thanks for coming down.
Hello, everyone. Yeah. To paint the picture, he still has a beard.
Well, that's
yes.
good.
It's not as large.
Which he colored a couple times in the offseason.
No color here. I got like three gray hairs in here. You can check it out.
That's all right.
Maybe one day I'll start coloring. My old man, you know, he's all gray. So
in NFL years, like dog years, you're pretty old.
I mean, I'm 30.
No.
I just turned 30. I feel great.
Yeah, but
you know?
this is your 10th year?
No, this is my ninth. I'm not
ninth
double digits yet.
Oh no, that's
no, but,
nine.
But even
listen. I don't count the first three because I, you know, there was no tread taken off the tire. Again, it's true. You know, I only this is really my fifth year, you know, actually playing.
Well,
football,
I wasn't talking about less durability, more just the average career in the NFL is like 2.5-3 years. So I mean, it's
definitely I beat the odds. But,
right, that's
you know, again,
what I'm getting to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything, but when he spoke with the media earlier, I was stunned when he said he hasn't missed a game since 2009. And you don't worry about like jinxing yourself, and you know
that's what the off season's for.
Right.
That's why I work so hard.
Well, speaking of the off season, what have you been doing? We hear about you know Brady and Belichick playing golf in Pebble Beach, and Gronk is Gronk. What are you doing in the off season? Anything interesting?
Well, I'm traveling around. You know, I didn't nice, beautiful sandy beaches, which would have been nice, but. You know, when you have family in Chicago, family in New Orleans, and a 9-month-old, you got to make your rounds, right? So, you know, went out to Chicago, see the family, stayed out there, you know, 3 weeks. You know, had to go down south, see the family, stay there 3 weeks. So,
right.
You know, just travel around a little bit, see everybody, and, you know, introduce them to my little daughter. And,
you enjoying the fatherhood thing?
Yeah, it's a little bit challenging. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. You know, I'd say 2 weeks ago I could sit her down and put a couple toys in front of her and she was good. Now she's behind the couch or, you know, trying to climb up the stairs.
What's this electrical socket?
Yeah, exactly. Baby-proof everything.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, it's the first time. It's not easy, but, you know, it's definitely fun and, you know, I'm enjoying it.
That's great. So, you had media availability earlier today, and I'm sure, or maybe I'm not sure, but I'm wondering if anyone talked to you about how last year ended in terms of your participation and Chandler's participation, because those who count the snaps said that you guys were like up around 95-96% of the snaps. Is that something that, as the season progressed, was talked about and it was like, hey, you guys just have to take them because of lack of depth, or is that the way you wanted it, you know? And how do you feel about taking that many snaps, you know, over the course of a season?
It took me a long time to get on the field, so I want to stay on as much as possible, you know what I mean? So, you know, again, I personally, you know, it wasn't a big deal to me. You know, again, we do some multiple things on defense to where it's not like, you know, I'm rushing every single time. But, again, you know, I pride myself on being on the field and being consistent. And, you know, if I was on the field thinking I wasn't helping the team or, you know, getting my butt kicked all the time, I'd come off. But, you know, I feel like I'm competitive in the fourth quarter and, you know, I'm not getting run off the ball. I'm still making plays in the run run situation. So, you know, again, I'm just going to go through it as always, the off season, train hard, you know, push myself to be in great condition. And, you know, whatever it is that is, I'll be out there playing hard. And,
yeah.
You know, again, I don't complain about being on the field, you know, again, because it, when you're off the field, it's not a good feeling.
It's such a copycat league. You know, the Seahawks win the Super Bowl, so then everybody starts looking at what they do. And, you know, they've got a pretty good rotation on, you know, defensive end. So everyone's like, well, that's how you have to do it. You know, how do you – did you hear that kind of stuff? Or
I mean, you see their success in certain things. But, again, people run their defenses differently. I mean, you know, I'm sure that there's a little bit of different communication as far as – how the defense is run. And you know, again, I guess it's a little wild to see a guy, you know, have finished the season with 18 tackles and half of them are sacks, you know, 8 sacks, you
right.
know, you know, me, it's like 92 tackles and 8 sacks. So right, you know, right. It's just the production, you know, is obviously different with as much rotation and, you know, the things that are asked to do of certain guys. If you just run up the field and run past the quarterback, and hey, you know, you did your job, but not here. You know, Bill'd be losing his mind on the sideline if you're behind the quarterback. So, you know, again, it's just different schemes, different ways to do things, and you know, there's always, you know, a way to play defense that is going to be different than the way the other people play defense.
I remember talking to you last year, and you talked a little bit about how you felt like teams were treating you a little differently, approaching you differently, that maybe, you know, years past, they were kind of getting to know who you were as a player, and you were sort of newer to the defense. Did you learn from last year over that experience in terms of how teams blocked you, running away from you, different things they did to you, and stuff that maybe will benefit you this year moving forward?
Yeah, I mean,
I know you always, keep a notebook. You got a little,
yeah, I get
you
a little, your notes. You know, I keep all my stats down. But, right. You know, when I go back and if you look at a lot of the plays, you know, again, as opposed to my first couple of years in the league, I think I was being noticed. And then now they know, like, okay, this guy's a good football player. We can't just expect that he's not going to be around the ball or make a play. You know, especially people that are in the division, teams that are in the division, they know, you know, when you go against somebody for a couple years in a row and two times a year, they know that, you know, you're going to be out there making some plays. So, in offensive tackles, they do a lot of studying as well. So they see the things that you do, you know, then their tendencies and all that stuff. So you gotta change with how they're adapting to how you're playing. And that's all part of the game. You know, it's the game within the game, as they say.
You've got your notebook, and then everyone has their notebook on
exactly,
you.
Exactly.
You know, it's a chess game.
Mm-hmm.
As one of the vets out there, how would you say Jamie Collins' game progressed? How have you seen him?
Oh, Jamie, you know, again, I've spoke before about, you know, just his athletic ability. Definitely a tremendous athletically gifted person. And He, you know, I think, again, when you're a rookie, you got to get your confidence. You got to get on the field. You get your feet wet a little bit, make a couple plays, and it just kind of snowballs from there. So, again, I think that he's going to have a great second year coming in and, you know, knowing the system, what to expect, and the expectation of what the Patriots have. And, you know, it's not easy when you're coming in. You don't know what to expect. You know, how is it run? How's the team? You know, and this isn't the easiest place to play as far as, you know, when you're in college. If you go, I don't know what his record was. I don't think he won many games.
They didn't win any last year.
Yeah, they didn't win any games.
Ofer.
So that you go from a team that doesn't
win
any games.
Score out there?
And you come to a team that if you lose two games, you know, the season is, you know,
it's the end of the world.
Yep. Oh my gosh, you know, that's happened a few times, you know.
Yep.
But
and we're usually leading the charge.
Oh, that's that's
they lost in Miami?
Yeah. The Giants and the Bills?
Yeah, right.
You know.
But you know, Bill always says, you know, do your job. And so for a guy like you, does it get a little bit easier to do your job as you start having more confidence in the guy behind you, like a Jamie Collins?
I mean defense, they work, everyone has to know their assignment, play their responsibilities, but also know, you know, what the guy next to him has, the guy behind him has, the safety, you know, it all works together. So the more your knowledge of the defense, you know, progresses, then you are more comfortable with how everything's supposed to go and where guys are supposed to be. And, you know, I think that as you grow older in the league, you become more comfortable with that. And, you know, just the basic pressures of the game. I mean, there's going to be times where you can't hear, you don't get the call, but you got to know their signals. You got to know, you know, what's going on. Look at the sidelines, see what they're saying. You know, there's the signal callers. There's the guys that are calling the play, but it's up to you to get the play. So, mm-hmm. you know, there's times where it's too loud and you can't hear what the Mayo or Hightower is saying. So, you know, then I got to look over, see what they called, or, you know, ask somebody for a signal, and then you go from there. So, yeah. And that just, again, that comes with, you know, being on the field. That goes a long way.
Yeah. You just, you mentioned Colin's athleticism, and that's, who are the best athletes on this team? Pound for, but just every, all things considered, who are some of the best athletes
all
on this team?
All things considered, I would say.
And you can't vote for yourself.
Yeah, you know, I get the most out of what God gave me, and you know, I'll say that. You know, I'm not saying I'm not athletic, you know, by any means. When you can get around a 320-pound guy, you got to be somewhat athletic. But, you know, everyone, yeah, that's one thing, too. Oh, right place, right time. Oh, yeah, that you know, right place, right time, if it happens over and over again.
Right,
you know,
it's more than just luck.
It's more than
right.
just luck, obviously. Right. So
it becomes a pattern.
Yeah. It's not like it happened once. But, you know, again, you know, Jamie, he's a freak of nature. Hightower, when a guy's 275, you're not supposed to move like
right.
he does. So, you know, he's a freak. Steve, I would say Gukowski, he's an athletic
vote
guy.
Vote for the kicker in the top three.
Those kickers.
I mean, when you go golfing with a guy and he can, you know, do the whole Tiger Woods, you know, golf ball, tap, 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 hit it on the fly, that's pretty good. I mean, he's a baseball
player.
Plus,
he could strike you out.
Eye-hand coordination. I mean, and... You know, I can't kick a football like he can. So
right.
you got to be pretty athletic to be able to do all that stuff. And, you know, Sebastian, Nate, I mean, when you're
those guys
like that. Yeah. I mean, how could you move like those guys do and, you know, you're 6'8", 6'9", and, you know, bench 500 pounds? Like, that's the guy I got to practice against.
Right.
That's Seabass. So,
and I don't think people know that about Sebastian, that he's that strong.
He is the strongest man.
Really?
Yeah. he is very strong. I mean, he can rep 405 for like 10. He's very strong man. I mean, and again, his whole game is about like his punch. So if you ever watch a game, just try and watch him with like a corner or a safety trying to blitz, and he punches them, and they literally fly the other way.
It's like Thor with the hammer.
Right. You just grab them and throw them.
Right.
So,
and we do, I mean, you look at some tackles and they're a little beefier, a little thicker around the, we have tackles that look like
supermodels. Super tight ends.
Yeah. You see him put on a suit and it's not, I mean, it's.
No, like Solder, he looks like a tight end.
Yeah.
You know, but he's 315 pounds.
And he's like, what, 6'8"?
Yeah.
It's just
huge. Ridiculous.
He's
they
huge.
Can reach out and grab you from
it's unbelievable.
You know, 2 yards away.
And then Alfonso, you know, that guy, he can jump like out the gym.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, he's got like springs in him. But we got a lot of athletic guys. So,
yeah. Well, that's a great thing about football. It comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
Thoughts on Vince Wilfork back in the fold?
Yeah. You know, definitely happy that he's here. You know, knowing that I can look inside and see a big V in there, you know, it's definitely confidence boosting, you know. So, again, when you play with somebody for a while, too, me and V, you know, good relationship, he can tell me what he's going to do. You know, I could say something to him, just one word, and he'll know what I'm trying to get, you know, get done. So, and that comes with time and on-field snaps that you guys are together. So I'm happy he's here and you know, he's definitely a valuable piece to our defense.
We talk about sometimes on here leadership and just the different types of leaders. Seems like this team has a lot of, follow me, you know, show you the way leaders. But do teams need kind of an a-hole leader, a guy who's not afraid to call somebody out or to kick somebody in the ass, slap them back into line? Is that something that's needed within a 53-man roster? And you know, maybe does Vince bring some of that? Because we see him sometimes. He has that robe on, and he walks through the locker room and just looks at somebody.
Sergeant
at
arms types
head.
Of guy. Yeah.
Do you need that kind of, I guess, edgy leadership at times?
Yeah, I mean, that always, whenever you need somebody to say something, it's always good to have a guy that can obviously just say, hey, you know, stop messing around, get the job done, do what you got to do, do your job, you know. So, yeah, I mean, there's always going to be somebody that's going to be vocal in the locker room. You know, me personally, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to do the best I can, you know, for the team, you know, play hard, work out hard, you know, do all the right things. You know, I'll say something if something needs to be said. You know, I'm not going to go into details on, you know, how that works, but there's always a point where, you know, enough's enough and you gotta say something. So I think anybody who's a lead by example type person can be an asshole at times. So,
yeah.
That's just the way it is. That's just life.
Yeah, and Parcells used to call them his circle the wagon guys. You know, when things needed to be done, there were a core group of guys that he could depend on that would then get his message down to the rest of the players or be the enforcers.
Yep.
And, you know, I guess every team needs them.
And, you know, like you said, you know, maybe that's not your first instinct or your, you know, yeah, but you're able to do it. And I remember Mayo. I consider him a leader by example for the most part, but remember, I want to say it was his first or second year, Brewski made some comments in the media, and Mayo said flat out, with all due respect to Brewski, who, he's not here anymore.
Right.
And, you know, it's now within the locker room. He's an outsider, even though he's a legend and right, all that. I think he sort of stepped up and did something that needed to be done. So I just think it's interesting to see how the right dynamics.
Well, I always feel like if there's a guy that's always going to be an asshole all the time, what do you do? You just say, oh, okay, he's being this way again.
Right.
But if you're a guy that doesn't do it often and then you lead by example and you do the right things and then you do that, well, then maybe it, you know, turns a little bit more heads and you
right
pay attention to that more. So, you know, there's something to be said about being that way all the time and being that way when you need to be that way.
Right. We've sort of buried the lead here, as they say in the journalism business. You're a pass rusher, and your defense just acquired the best pass defender.
I was just about to go to that.
Arguably in the game in Darrell Revis.
Right.
That's going to make you feel pretty good.
I don't mind that. You know, give me a half second more. And,
so you can get those lucky right place, right time plays.
Yes, exactly. Right. Oh, he was unblocked for the...
You could have 25 sacks this year. It's because Revis was here.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh,
Revis was shutting everybody down. They were all coverage sacks.
Right, exactly. Just like the pressures. Like, he doesn't get there often. Oh.
Well, when you saw that...
Look at the tape.
When you saw that signing, you know, Akib leaves, and it's like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, they sign Revis. Were you surprised? I mean,
No, you know what? Again, when you're in the NFL a little bit of time here, there's always going to be something that is different that you weren't expecting. So you expect that, you know, obviously, that there's always going to be some type of change that, you know, you didn't think was going to happen. And, you know, you lose a guy, unfortunately, to free agency. That happens all the time. And then you get a guy that's pretty good.
Yeah.
So I don't mind it. You know, again,
arguably the best.
Yeah.
Revis Island.
Yeah.
And, you know, having played against him with the Jets and, you know, him always being a very good player and, you know, a year removed from the injury that he had, he's going to be even a better player. So, you know, I'm good with that. And, you know, just give me a little more time.
That's
awesome. Without giving away state secrets, so to speak, you guys played a good amount of man already. He's obviously known as sort of a man coverage guy. Browner, who's a big man, physical man coverage type guy. As a defensive end and a pass rusher, how does that affect what you do if you're playing a lot of man coverage behind you?
Who's the quarterback? Because if you got man coverage and their backs are turned and he scrambles
runs for 30 yards.
Exactly. So anytime you're in man coverage, it's up to the D-line to keep your pass rush lane. So you can't go crazy as far as, you know, being out of control up the field or, you know, the tackles getting too wide and him stepping up in the pocket and running for a first down.
He might be playing Michael Vick twice. Who knows?
Yeah, he's with New York now, so.
Yeah.
You never know. You know, it's not the first time we've played a mobile quarterback.
Right.
So.
Cam Newton. So are you here for the duration until minicamp in June, or are you going to be back and forth?
No, you know, I'll be here working out again. You know, I got the fam here, and, you know, we'll be here hanging out, working out. And
Pain is your friend.
Pain is your
dad
friend.
Says he
that's the old man, Mike Ninkovich.
Yeah.
Just retired, 35-year iron worker.
That's the thing. It's not fair. Like, your pain is, I did two extra reps on the bench press.
Yeah.
Your dad's an iron worker.
No,
he smashes his finger between
two steel beams or something.
Yeah.
A little different.
Know, they're doing the work out here, expanding the whole football area, and they just recently put up the steel girders there. And I see the guys, you know, they were only one floor up walking on those steel girders. When you worked for your dad, were you, like, up nine floors?
I was, you know, like... I was tied off the whole time, but those guys are, you know, like, you watch them and you're like, oh my gosh, those guys are crazy. because they, you know, they're so good. They're so balanced and good and fast because everything, you know, time is money, right?
Right.
So the faster you can get things done, you know, the more money you're going to make in the long run. And, you know, they're climbing around on everything, putting beams up, and, you know, if they fall, they're
dead.
Not alive. You know,
I know.
They're definitely
like
not alive.
Life goes on, I guess, in that.
So it's, but you don't fall because, you know, that's one of those things that you get good at it and you're cautious, but you're still, you know, knowing your surroundings. And,
right. But is there a test? Like, there's got to be some people that apply.
There's an apprenticeship. You got to go through all that stuff.
Because I did it. Well, I did like land surveying in high school, and we did a bridge once, and I was absolutely crapping my pants. Places on my body I didn't know could sweat were sweating.
I mean, it's a family thing too. I mean, you don't just get into it. Usually, it's my grandfather did it, and my dad did it. You know, my cousins do it.
Yeah, so you couldn't not do it and say, I'm scared.
No, you just. Yeah. But that's what you got to do to support your family. Right. So there's nothing wrong with that.
Those famous photographs, like in the 30s and 40s, when guys were up in the Empire State Building in Chicago, like 60 floors up. And they're not tied on.
That was my grandfather. I mean, he'd sit up. You know, that's what they did back then. There was no safety. There was
ridiculous.
There was nothing. You know, they just went up there and, you know, again, you do what you do to put food on the table.
And then there's me. I went to New York last week, and we went to the top of the Rock, and I'm like, I'm in a building that's finished, and I'm sweating and clammy. And
well, you're a pussy, so.
Well, I am. I'll admit it.
Can we say that?
Yeah, it's internet radio. Say whatever you want.
Oh, whatever. We try to be polite, but, you know, you can say certain things.
Certain rules. Okay. Don't say anything about anybody named Kraft. Don't say anything about anybody named Belichick.
Yeah, you're in the building that Kraft built.
Yes, so stay away from those things, but, you know, an F-bomb here or there, it's not the worst thing
in
the world.
Well, yeah, but we don't, you know, publicize that.
You just called me a pussy.
Well, that's okay.
I mean,
the truth is the truth.
It's the same thing.
All right, guys. Come on. We got a table in between.
I got a question for you, though. You talked about, changes every year in the NFL. And as a backup long snapper, a guy who early on in his career was a long snapper, sort of, moving the PATs.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think about that? I mean, the fact that you could kick a 43-yard PAT or a 35-yard
PAT.
What's
the option, though? So it's just the PAT. I don't even know the new...
Right now, in August, they're going to move the line of scrimmage for a one-point PAT to the 20. Bill had actually proposed the 25. If you want to go for two, you can still go for two from the two.
Okay. Well, then that makes it a little more interesting because, say, your kicker, it's windy.
Right.
It's a bad conditions. You know, your kicker, you know, there's something wrong with them, and you go for two, and that changes the outcomes of the game.
But you like the change, or do you feel like it's kind of a gimmickization?
I mean, I think I could kick an extra point, really, to be honest with you. I mean,
you probably could.
It's a chip shot, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, the what's the percentage on a PAT?
Oh, it's like,
goal? It's like
99 and change. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. I mean, unless, you know, it's unless it's the Saints Jaguars game when Carney missed that
and
one.
That's the one everybody points to. Everybody
that's
remembers
the only
that one.
Everyone,
yep.
Yeah, exactly.
They remember
that's
it.
The only one that they remember.
But it's even worse than that because I think Bill said, because Bill actually proposed this rule change and presented it to the league at the meetings, and I believe he said a field goal less than 20 yards or something hasn't been missed in over a decade. I mean, that's even beyond, I mean, a little different from a PAT, but that's how automatic it is for those short ones. The only thing that I find strange a little bit is, so it's a 43-yard PAT, essentially. But you could have a 35-yard field goal that's worth 3 points and a 43-yarder that's worth 1 point. It just feels a little.
Yeah,
it's almost
a little
like
odd.
Shooting a 3-pointer from the free throw line in basketball.
It's
just
a little
feels
bit odd. I mean, and then you think too, you know, when you have a team that scores a lot and you're kicking PATs, I'm sure that the kickers don't have to really get into it.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
So then if you're scoring.
Like in 07 when Gostkowski was kicking,
he's kicking.
43 yarders
every time.
Yeah, every 5
so
minutes.
So maybe at the end of the game, he's got
to
kick a 58-yarder, and he's
tired.
Kicked 7 long field goals.
We had not talked about that. That's a very different.
There you go.
Well, and the other side of it, what that Bill has complained about as when he presented this rule was, you're not allowed to do anything to basically block a PAT. You're not allowed to overload or touch the center or land on anybody or push it. You know, all these things. Have you noticed that evolution as since you've been in the league?
Definitely the PAT.
It's not really a block team anymore. It's kind of
because the angles are different. I mean,
it's like a patty cake team.
You can't, the way to get to a PAT is almost impossible just because of the angle. The ball is so high.
Right.
It's going straight up. When you're out farther, it's got the angles change,
right.
So you have a much better chance of blocking the ball.
You need
the
farther
it's
shoulders
out.
Shoulders.
Yeah,
you're not allowed to touch anybody.
Right. You know, and you need two guys.
Right. Right.
But yeah, I mean that's the thing too, is it's not it's harder to get to those unless somebody just completely doesn't block.
Right.
All right. Well, Rob, we appreciate you coming down. We're expecting big things out of the defense. Everybody's going to be healthy all year this year. No
all
injuries.
Right. Beautiful.
And go do 405 for 10.
I can't right now.
Oh, right now.
Right now.
Maybe. So, you know, a couple of weeks you'll be able
July
to.
I'll be close. You know, I'll be getting up there. Maybe 8. I can get it for 8.
Oh, 405 bench press. I'm thinking, what is he talking
yeah.
about?
He just talked about Vollmer doing 405. Do you not running. Listen to your guests?
No, Seabass. Yeah. Oh, you said Vol. That's Seabass.
Yes.
I say Seabass.
That's his last name.
I like Seabass. That's the way better, you know, Vollmer, Seabass. Sounds tougher, you know.
It does sound tougher. Kick his ass, Seabass, like in the
right.
movie.
Cam Neely.
Yeah,
that's right.
All right, we'll take a break. Rob, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks,
we'll
Rob.
Be right back
thanks.
Here in PFW in Progress.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Like what you've heard so far? You'll love it even more when you read it in Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or log on to pfwonline.com.
All right, back here at PFW in Progress. Thank you to Rob Ninkovich for stopping by, and I can't lie. I can't perpetuate the fraud.
Those were terrible questions.
No, we actually interviewed him earlier before the show, you know, like half hour before the show.
Why Paul couldn't get a word in.
Right, Paul wasn't here. That's why he didn't ask any questions. But well, according to Paul, he wouldn't have anyway.
No, because you weren't allowing
yeah.
anybody. Andy says that he wasn't allowed to ask questions.
Right, yeah.
Andy said you took over the whole interview.
Anyone who actually listened knows that Andy asked as many questions, if not more, than I did.
The good ones.
So
Rob, sometimes you get in a 3-point
so
stand
let us know.
And your shade is on the outside. You know, could you break down how many blades of grass you touch when you get to the quarterback on that play?
Was that the example of the question that Fred asked?
Okay.
But, so you were just upset at Fred for asking football questions because that's your side of the street.
No. I was upset because he was asking questions that you knew were going to lead to cliche Patriot Rob Ninkovich answers. Got to get him outside his safety zone, his box.
He really is an ass.
Pompous.
Yeah, really. Yeah. All of a sudden, he's become, you know, Larry King over here. You know,
he's the best at everything.
Yeah. Yep.
That's not true.
No.
What aren't you the best at, Andy?
Everything. I'm here working with you guys.
Humility?
Can't believe I'm working with you guys.
All right. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline, web radio at patriots.com.
Humility?
I haven't met him. Was he a backup quarterback for the Patriots?
Get it? That would be the Humilinator.
Humilinator?
Yeah.
Wait, what? He was the Humilinator?
The Humilinator.
Lots of emails. Let's get back to the Ace Ticket Hotline as well.
He's a swordsman, right?
Brian, also known is it Brighton? Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Had that
good.
Couple of cutbacks
that
year.
I don't understand why everyone keeps commenting how Eric's going to stand out as a juror. I mean, that only counts if he votes not guilty. That arrogant, smug jerk is going to be the first one to say guilty.
Send him to the gallows.
Yeah, he's going to be putting people in the chair if he can.
Right,
he probably will because he's bitter.
Good point, Brian.
So, I mean, last guy I'd want on my jury.
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course.
Hopefully, especially it's not a guy.
He's got one less that he has to compete with.
Yeah. I'd want someone like Fred, who would be like, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know.
A liberal.
Yeah, exactly, right? So that I could, like, my fingerprints could be on the weapon and everything, and Fred might still see some excuse.
Fred will be looking for victims' rights and all these criminal rights and everything. You liberals.
And by the way, I'm pretty sure Nico threw a few swears in there.
He did.
Oh, he did. Oh, yeah.
No, the best part was.
And he was surprised when Fred said the P word.
Right.
He had sworn at least twice and then later goes, oh, we can say that? Well, you can't say a-hole either, but you just did twice.
I was like, and that's why you're not on EEI, Nico.
Oh, no, but when he's on EEI, he is as bland can be.
Well, exactly. Oh. Gotta love the show. So the reason I'm calling in, guys, is because I've been kind of dwelling on this. I mean, I love Wilfork, and I've called in to defend him before, but I'm really curious about this new contract, and I wonder if you could explain it to me a little more, because it seems like he didn't really take that much of a pay cut, and he's still going to be very highly paid if we keep him, but is that the option? We could get rid of him at any time?
Well, that's the key. Yes. He is, this year, he's paid as much, if not more, than he was scheduled to be paid this year, but this dance is going to continue next year. There's no guarantee with this contract that Wilfork's going to be here next year without some type of negotiation again. So,
well, he's not necessarily going to make as much or more than he was. That's not necessarily true.
This year?
He got more guaranteed because he got it up front, $3 million. But he's not necessarily going to reach the $8
million. Well, I mean, what's going to prevent him from doing it?
Any number of the things.
Other than injury.
He's not going to make all the playtime incentives.
Playtime or top 10 whatever defense?
Top 10 defense. I think that there's tiered toward the percentage of plays. It's like 50%, 75%, something. And then, you know, it increases incrementally. He's not going to get the playing time percentage
that
he needs.
Yeah, but that's like $300,000, right?
No.
He's going to probably get closer to $5.5, $6 million. Than $8 million,
right?
And it was going to be like $7.5 million to $8 million, I think, if he had just stayed.
Right. He lost a couple million, but he got more money up front. He could have got none.
Right. They could have cut him, and he could have gotten none. Now they can't cut him this year because that's just throwing $3 million
away.
Well,
I'm not okay. Listen, I'm not worried about Will Forks. I'm not worried about his bank account. I'm just curious about I'm curious for the cap hit because it came down to something like.
Oh, they saved a lot
like
on the cap.
$3 or $4 million on the cap.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Just for this year, but the future years, it seemed like it was going to be $8 million.
Yeah, don't
worry about
the
future
years.
He's going to get cut. He's going to get cut.
All right, the cap is crap. Okay, thanks, guys.
No,
Fred, he said it. He's right.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that next year they'll have to deal with this again.
Right, he'll get cut. Right.
Or they'll do something else.
But his cap number did drop significantly. Yeah. It was going to be 11.6.
Right. Yeah.
So that's a big drop down. Was it $4.5 million or $5 million?
Well, those
less?
Incentives something that you're like talking that, yeah. about, are those likely to be earned? So they have to count this year against the cap.
Some are different, and some
believe
of them
both.
Yeah, some of them are not likely to be earned, but he's not going to get the full amount of all those incentives. He's just not.
Okay. Kat's in Chicago. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hi, Kat.
Hey, girl.
I love that you got Ninkovic to swear. That was.
I don't even think he knew he did.
Yeah, I don't.
No, really, he didn't.
Yeah, he. Which is good. That means he was comfortable and just kind of talking,
right?
Cool. I love that. I could just imagine you guys snickering like little kids on the inside when he was doing it too.
Well, I was, but I didn't want to react because I didn't want him to react. So I just kind of.
Oh, yeah, no, it was natural.
Sure.
But that's our new goal this year. Every player we get in here, we want to make him swear.
I like it. So, I was listening earlier about Mettenberger, and I'm not so sure I agree with you that if there were some real concerns. I mean, I know he had the one issue, but I hear a lot of stuff here. I have a buddy here in Chicago who's a Michigan insider, and I hear crazy stuff that never gets out to the press, like, Taylor Lewan has had some very questionable things happen. And I heard a lot of stuff about Mallett, too, before he came out that never.
Mm-hmm. Mallett had a lot of stuff.
No, but Mallett had a lot of red flags. He actually is a weird situation where everybody said he was an off-field concern, but very few really wanted to point to specific incidents and things he did.
There was one bar fight.
Right. Yeah. But that was like early on.
Right.
And then that's kind of my point.
But
I don't know.
Kat's telling you now that the teams know what those things are.
No. But the teams knew what they were then.
The funny thing is,
my point is, but everybody, not just teams,
everybody, you know, the draft experts, Mallett was considered a character question mark.
Right. Yeah. The funny thing
Mettenberger is not generally considered a character question mark, and that's my point. Mm-hmm. If it were an abundance of things sort of that people heard whispers or knew about, there'd be more talk of that. Mm-hmm. Not the specific incidents, but that he was a question mark.
That makes sense.
Yeah, go ahead,
Kat. It's interesting to me that, you know, I know they're trying to market the players and stuff, but the fact that a lot of it never goes public.
Right.
You know, I think that as fans, there's a lot of stuff that we never hear about.
That's true. Right. And just, I don't want to burst your bubble, but there's a lot of that I believe to be true of the New England Patriots, the New York Jets,
every team.
The Chicago Bears. I think every team, if you ever found out what happens and what is actually coming to the surface is a big, you know, the iceberg effect. The major stuff makes it to the surface. The rest you never hear about.
The funny thing about Mal is you look at him and could you ever even picture him in a bar fight? You know, I just don't picture him like getting mad enough to be in a bar fight.
Paul, what do you got?
Nothing.
No. I could. I wouldn't necessarily think give him good chances because he's got those long gangly arms and I don't know if he'd, you know, get punches in, but.
Well, either way, the other thing, two other things I was going to say. The first is I thought it was hilarious when you guys were talking about Giselle and the breastfeeding thing the other week. I think it's so bizarre that people get upset about this. At least, you know, it's not like she went out like Gwyneth Paltrow and said, oh, my life is so hard. It's so much harder than all of you. She's doing her job and she's feeding her kid and at least she's with her kid. I mean, God, most of them probably pass their kids off to nannies and stuff. At least
right, like her.
All, so. Well, but come on, she didn't have to be sitting there doing that. Do you think it was just a promo shot, like a publicity thing?
Yeah. Yes. I think she is a carefully packaged and massaged PR image.
And I think the comparisons to Gwyneth Paltrow are dead on.
And here's the thing,
the thing that
bothers me. And look, I have a lot of respect for her. She's a self-made woman, smart business person. Mm. Everything she's done herself. You got to give her all the credit. But the thing about it, her caption is, you know, the picture of the 21st century woman. You know, most women don't have five people
right.
applying makeup
them.
For you. So
most
that,
women do everything she's, you know, talking about but themselves.
I think she lives in a little bit of a bubble.
She does. Yeah. She lives in a fantasy world. And that isn't even what bothers me as much as her belief that everything she does should be the way it's done. I breastfeed, so everybody should. World law should be breastfeed till you're two. Or what was the other big snafu she had where she wanted?
Well, the lights.
No, not that one. That one I make fun of. She had another one where everybody, she had her child potty trained by 6 months or something. So should everybody else. And go screw yourself.
All right. Last thing is,
well, Kat didn't think that one was going that way.
This is my big question. Is there any chance that we're going to be able to cut Danny Amendola this season? Or are we, as usual, going to hang on to a player for at least a season longer than we should?
Well, listen.
Yes, they are hanging on to
him. Do you really feel that we should cut him?
Yeah.
Really?
That was a quick
Paul
yeah.
Paul remembers. I wrote an email before
I
we signed him when people were talking about getting rid of Welker and getting Amendola, and he's not an upgrade. I mean, there's no question.
No, but now Welker's gone and he's here. Do you really feel the need to cut him?
I do. I think he's overly expensive for what he is.
But
he's
you're not going to save that much money by cutting him.
That's the one problem, is right. You don't save anything this year by cutting him.
My problem with it, and I totally agree with Kat, and I do remember when she was critical of Amendola, is I think he's blocking somebody else from potentially being signed or
that's
drafted. And that's
too.
My problem with it.
Yeah, I know, but like if you could cut him now and
you can.
It would zero impact on the team, then
You can. You're paying him the same either way. So if you want to draft a receiver and just give him the role, the opportunity, it's a wash.
So let him fight it in camp. You know, maybe.
Yeah, I think there's a chance. You know, if somebody came in and wowed him, there is a chance that they go, we were going to give him one more year, but it's not worth it. Maybe there's a 10%
chance. This logjam at wide receiver only happens when the season starts. Right now, you can have as many as you want. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think he's going to be here, but you're right. There might be a 10% chance that they draft somebody, he wows them, they want to keep X, Y, and he's the odd man out.
Yeah, I haven't given up on him. We saw things.
You don't give up on him until the team gives up
we
on
saw
him.
Things.
That's your MO.
At the NFL level, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't seen him be.
Even Kat's laughing at you in the background.
I haven't seen him be the guy that people think he is
in Buffalo,
the NFL
that
level.
Buffalo game, you didn't see that?
For what, for a game?
Right,
for
and then he got hurt.
Oh,
I'm talking about
so
his
bad.
6 years in the league.
Oh, right? No, he's made
not,
some great
not,
plays.
Not the second half of the Buffalo
he's
game.
He's made great plays.
He had a good game in Miami, too, but I'm not saying he's incapable of having a
productive
game. I saw
him with the
game.
Rams make some really good
he
plays.
He had a better season statistically this year than he has before, and everybody wanted to run him out of town.
Right. Not
he was about five
not
years
volume stats. I'm talking
too.
Plays. He's made big plays.
Well, his yards per catch he's were th- greater than it's ever been.
He doesn't make big plays. He's the exact opposite.
His career high is 3 touchdowns. Where are all these big plays coming if they're not included in yards per
catch
or touchdowns?
He averaged 8.8 yards a catch
going
into the season.
We'll go back upstairs. I'll show you the highlights.
Okay, the one catch.
I told you, he's not incapable of making a play.
Now, are you going to email him to Kat because she needs to see the highlights?
And by the way, I don't know if you've been hearing, but Kat is laughing.
She's laughing at you in the background.
That's fine. He's made good plays.
Yeah, and she's nice. She's not like me.
Yeah, she's not mean.
I'm such a sweet person.
You are.
Except when it comes to Danny on the door.
Your one flaw is it takes you forever to flip a house.
Oh, we're not flipping it. We're living in it.
Yeah, they're not flipping it.
Yeah, I thought you decided, though, you might want to do this again and make it a career and everything.
No. If I do that, though, what I'll do is I'll do apartments or...
Because I just picture, you know how on the shows, like, Flip This, it's like 6 weeks, and then they count down, and we got to have the... I picture you, like, 27 weeks over, 28 weeks over.
No, that's because this house is custom. If I did it again, I wouldn't do something this. This is the house that my husband wants to live in until, you know, you can't.
This is your baby, your love.
Yeah,
and
right,
it's
exactly.
Beautiful.
And it's beautiful. And has secrets in it.
It's awesome.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
All right, Kat, thanks for calling.
See you, Kat. Right.
Thanks, Kat.
Kat loves us, and I love her. She gets us, like
she does. She knows like, it's. She knows we're just. You
she
know,
gets the act, and the you know when we're
sort
being
of,
mean.
You know,
and,
you know, just she, out there.
Yeah. Kat's the best.
Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Hey,
personal.
Dave.
No.
Hey,
it's
guys.
Business.
I'm talking a while, so just when I'm.
What have you been up to?
Questions. Work, guys, just like you, you know.
I hear you, brother. Slaving.
But that's a good thing.
Yep.
Hey, my three questions are, what would you grade our offseason? That's number one. Number two, what would be your number one pick, position-wise, in the draft? And number three, do you feel that maybe we haven't been aggressive enough in trying to, through free agency, improve the defensive line? I know there's some talent in the draft, so then it's always the fallback. But
right. The offseason has to include the draft.
A solid
right?
A. Yeah. I mean, you know, with Revis and what they've done, you know, you know, we can't sign everybody. You know, I understand that. You know, and that's what the draft is for, too. I think I would give it a solid A. I just need to hear what you guys think about the number one knee position in your draft pick.
Okay, thanks for the call, Dave. I think A+ in the off season so far, but there's a lot left to be done.
Right, because we didn't get a pass rusher. We haven't improved at receiver.
But what they've done, I mean, they brought Edelman, they got Will Ford.
The season started today, we'd start 20 players.
I looked at it totally different, but I definitely think the Revis thing to me is a home run, and that alone, that makes your offseason. I think that's how I look at it. You acquire a great player, and I think that's the kind of stuff that we've been sort of clamoring for, and I'm really excited to watch him play. I still think pass rusher, Andy thinks tight end.
But see, my problem is the way he asked it, I find it intriguing. I might be able to get my tight end in the second round. You know, Severian Jenkins with the injury and everything. And Buchanan, by all accounts, day own, is a potential second round pick. So it's almost like I could get my dream draft. If I can take somebody at 29, you know, D Ford, or, you know, I can get some, or a receiver who I don't think is, and then I can trade up with my third and get those two in the second, like, whoa, all of a sudden I have like a dream draft, and I've checked off all my needs, pass rusher, tight end, because of the values, you know, of the positions when you stack the board both horizontally and vertically.
Exactly.
So who would are you able to zero in and say, I'd flat out take a pass rusher at 29?
No, I think that's the number one need, but I think...
By the way, Ely? Everybody had him like as a potential. He's like 14, 12.
The whole first round, there seems to be like a group of five or six guys, you know, Khalil Mack, the tackles, Matthews,
yeah, Robinson, Watkins.
There's a small group of players that everybody seems to be in consensus. These are the best four, five. You know, I saw someone yesterday had seven. These are the top seven.
The blue
guys.
Chippers.
Beyond that, I've seen guys all over the map. I've seen these cornerbacks you know, in the middle. I've seen Denard in the middle of the round, you know, between 10 and 15. I've seen him out of the first round. I've seen some of these other guys, Kona Ealy, like you just said, D Ford. I've seen them late first round. I've seen Ealy up higher than that. I've seen him lower. So I don't, you know, all the defensive tackles to me are also interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, the Hagemans and the Donalds of the world, they seem Nicks. Like they fit different. Lewis Nix, they fit different schemes, different ways. And
oh, Donald is a guy that's, oh, yeah.
You know, they could move up. They could move down. There doesn't seem to be a lot of consensus.
So you tell me it's another year.
But your dream draft, wouldn't this line up perfectly for Bill to say, let's get out of this 29 and get an extra second round pick, and I can get both of them.
Right.
I can get the my safety that I want and the tight end I want.
I'm all for it. Do it, Bill. Do it. You're a very, very good drafter.
Richard writes in, do they have Twiglets in the U.S.? They're no. covered in Marmite, which is like Vegemite. I find it crazy that you have no knowledge of anything outside of the USA, but you rip Eric.
Oh, go screw yourself. You tell me everybody knows
knowledge.
What Vegemite is?
Also, I have asked a few times.
And if he ever brought knowledge to the table.
I know what Vegemite was.
Every time he goes somewhere, I ask him a question, he doesn't know the answer.
That's what we rip Eric about.
Yeah.
He's a pseudo-intellect.
Right. And he is traveled, but gets nothing out of it. That's the problem.
He's writing a book on Africa based on his 2 weeks
right.
there.
Out in Africa.
Also, I have asked a few times with no reply, have they squirted the throwback jersey situation out yet this season?
What is the throwback jersey situation?
Do we have a situation on that?
If you have the Patriots app, as soon as they do, we will send out an alert on the Patriots app.
Is that the same app that said we hosted Mike Evans?
No. P.S., the tribute to the Boston Fire Department last week was really moving, even over here in the U.K., and good luck with the marathon, Andy.
Thank you.
From Westy in Wales.
Should I eat some Vegemite before the
Westy.
Marathon? Now, I clearly he feels like we're zipping past his throwback jersey question, so I don't want to do that.
We don't know.
What is the issue? They didn't
wear
one last year.
Because of the helmet issue?
Right. Okay. Right. And we're not to the point yet where we can do the red jersey, correct?
I don't know.
If, you know, there's always been this, speaking of underlying talk, of a red alternate, you know, a red jersey, modern red,
right.
not a throwback.
With the new logo.
New logo, similar design, but a red base. There's been talk of that, but I don't believe we could do that because remember last year we couldn't even change the
script.
Little logo
yeah.
on the front because
right.
you can only do it every 5 years, X
Something
number
like
years.
That, right.
But
I just thought it was because the people thought that the new logo wasn't really worth doing.
No,
that wasn't it.
That
was just
well,
me.
They thought it was worth putting on the game field where more people see it than on the little stupid thing
that
on the front.
That was just me that thought
yes.
that? Oh, okay.
You hate everything. What do you like?
I like the script Patriot.
He hates
Northeastern.
I liked the script Patriot.
Really? You like that?
I liked it, yes. I thought it looked sharp.
You know
oh,
why.
It's old.
And well, that's why
that
I liked
old.
It, because it's a tie to Drew.
Right.
Like, it was one of those last things clinging to Drew.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought that was more recent than Drew. Well, I mean, if you want to say I like the Drew. I like the the old blue uniforms, not the ones that they wore toward the end of Drew's tenure with
the
almost
stripes.
Like the rugby stripes. I didn't like those, but like 94-ish, they had the numbers on the shoulders.
Yeah.
I liked those better. Yeah. So that's not like Drew related. And I'm not a Pat Patriot guy either. You say, like, I like the way that they...
I know. You like nothing. I understand that. You don't like Elvis.
Right.
You don't like Pat Patriot. Well, you don't like...
And then when I tell you I like something, you're like, you do? You like that? Like,
well, let me... Give me an
I
example.
Like the script Patriot.
Well,
you guys don't.
You just like it because everybody else said it's good to get rid of.
See, this is another one of those things, like the extra point. I don't remember this hue and cry. We got to get rid of the script Patriot.
No, there wasn't. But not a lot of people liked it, because I never really liked it.
It's
no one cared.
It was kind of froofy fancy, the curls.
Let's get in one more call before we end the show. Robert's in South Carolina. Hey, Robert.
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
We're doing good.
Hi, Bob.
All right. Well, it seems like everyone is hinting the loss of Welker and hating on Amendola, but whose loss we really should be lamenting is that of Danny Woodhead. I mean, he was a real consistent sort of go-to guy. I mean, not that he ever put up big stats or numbers or anything like that, but he was at least there. And we didn't replace that in Vereen, and we didn't replace that in anybody else.
Yes, I would agree the durability. Vereen was not there enough. He missed a significant portion of the season. I would argue Vereen is better. I still think Vereen is better, but the one hang-up is the being there, as Robert
well,
put it.
Well, yeah, no doubt, durability, Woodhead gets the edge. But really, when you look back at 2013, are you really saying that, wow, if we had Woodhead, we would have won that game in Denver?
It would have been better than having Danny Amendola.
Well,
I would have preferred Woodhead out there over on the Mendola.
Well, I hear that, but I don't think that was the case. You know, I don't think it came down to Woodhead or Danny Amendola.
No.
You know?
But you can argue that they lacked offensive weapons that day.
Yeah.
And for whatever you think of Danny Woodhead, he was an offensive weapon in
Absolutely.
Some sort.
Absolutely.
But to the point.
I love Danny Woodhead. I just don't see him being the guy that
he would not have changed,
put
no.
them over the
no.
top.
No. But Welker may have. You know, if we're going to get to
that's a
know,
whole different issue.
You know, if we're going to get to this, you
particularly
know,
in that
we came,
game,
in that game, there was no other option but Edelman.
He wouldn't have been able to knock out Tlaib if he was on our team.
Then he might have changed the game.
I wasn't even talking.
I don't think
that.
Anything offensively was changing that game. I think
right,
any defense was
right.
changing.
Well,
that
I don't
game.
Think they would have been able to score enough points to win.
As Bart
game.
Scott would say, they couldn't stop a nosebleed that day in that game.
I agree with that.
But that's the thing is that Brady needs weapons, and his weapons didn't get replaced. And I mean, I would prefer, if you're going to take Welker out, I would, instead of having an Edelman and an Amendola, I would rather have an Edelman and a Woodhead any day of the week.
Doesn't matter to me.
Well, but the issue there is I don't believe that was the plan anyway. The plan was Amendola. That was the plan. Robert Kraft on record, plan B. Welker's gone, we're going plan B, it's Amendola. Edelman just kind of slipped in there and became a key part of the offense as natural evolution took place over the course of the season.
Yeah, I just don't look at those guys, you know, Edelman, Woodhead, you know, Amendola. I don't look at them as difference-making players. I just don't.
Yeah, but the one problem, Woodhead, okay, is the guy who you paid like a difference-making player, and that's Amendola.
I agree.
Get rid of all the other crap, the mud in the water. You paid a guy $30 million, which in the NFL,
that,
if you
allow
pay
that to
$30
change,
million,
what you do, that's what Kat's issue was, you know, about 10 minutes ago. If that's preventing you from doing something now, that's a problem.
Right. Or even just a comp. Well, you know, too rich for our blood to go get Jared Allen.
Right.
Well, that number wasn't too rich to go get a Jag receiver who has like four career touchdowns.
I look
who
at
had 200-yard games in his life.
Just the year previous with Brandon Lloyd, and they were able to sit there and say this wasn't the answer. And they pulled the plug on it and immediately, because I don't think they're stubborn enough to say, well, this is the guy we brought in.
But the one difference is they saved money.
They were able to do it for money. And I think that's unfortunate. If money's going to be the overriding factor, that's unfortunate.
All right. Well, that's going to be the end of the show, unfortunately. Thanks for the call, Robert from South Carolina. Thanks, everyone else, for listening. Thanks, Rob Ninkovich, for stopping in.
Sorry, Fred bored you with all those questions.
Oh, will you shut up? All right. We'll see you Thursday. Long as I remember being bent from the town, clouds of mystery pouring, confusion on the ground. Good men through the ages trying to find the sun, and I wonder.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.